Oh, hey, how's the lace thing going?
Fine.
Is it gone?
Sure. No. Yeah, I guess.
You don't sound convincing.
I mean, yes.
Your kids still have nits? Really? Oh, man.
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? How do you not know?
We threw them out for being dirty.
That's a good idea.
Filthy.
Dirty little kids and their dirty little hands.
Yes, ma'am.
They mess up everything in your house, don't they?
Yes, ma'am.
What are you doing anyway?
Things and stuff.
So are the kids gearing up for Easter holiday vacation?
I mean, we already had spring break.
Really?
I only had one. I wanted more.
Yeah.
So.
Do they get any time off for Easter or no?
I think Good Friday is an in-service day. They don't want to single out any religion. So conveniently, Good Friday is a day off.
Oh, okay.
It's, I don't know, whatever.
But it's called in-service?
Yes, in other words, with the...
Only the lunch ladies report for work?
Essentially.
All right, lunch ladies, you can report for work, but do not don your hairnets.
Well, the deal is that due to political pressures, they took spring break and took it away from where it traditionally was around Easter.
Uh-huh.
And because they, you know, the atheists requested that be the case. And
it's now celebrated during Bike Week.
And so then, of course, no one, a lot of people did not show up to work or to school on Good Friday, consequently for the last several years. So now they've conveniently made it one of the days that teachers are supposed to do work, but they don't necessarily have to report. So
hey, what's the deal? Only because I ride by a school all the time going to work. And
I thought you weren't allowed to do that anymore.
I can. As long as I ride really fast and don't stop, I'm okay. However,
bad influence on kids. Go on.
What is this? A lot of the schools like get out like have early recess,
yeah,
or something,
yeah,
or early dismissal. What is that?
Yeah, they do like half days on Mondays, things like that.
Yeah,
what
is
that? The teachers union managed to get certain things written into the latest bargaining agreement with the state, and that happens to be one of them, the number of hours that they have to do is cut in half, or student hours. I don't know. It's some weird thing like that, but that's what it was written. You know, I read an interesting quote the other day saying, and it was, I forget who it was from. Maybe it was from Mark
A
Twain.
Mind is a terrible thing. Yes. I read that too.
No, I forget what it was. Maybe it was Walt Disney. Walt Disney might have said it. What was it?
Really?
It had something to do with chillins in school.
Just get them back to the meatpacking places. Yeah, put them back to work.
Well, this is true. The guy who made Song of the South probably shouldn't be the guy that we're looking to for.
Oh, I know. I actually saw that in a theater. I actually saw it. Never again.
Let's see. It's something like, oh yeah, it was over here. Let me see.
I remember that the little rich boy was friends with poor white trash kids. That's all I remember. And I think he fell off a horse. I don't know. Something like that. Did you find that quote?
I'm looking for it right now. If you can dream it.
All right. Well, what's the gist of this quote?
I don't know.
No, nobody quotes stuff like they do in movies. I don't think us Americans really don't do that. Unlike the Brits, they're always quoting stuff from like George Bernard Shaw and stuff.
Here we go. I found it.
Oh, okay.
Walt Disney said, okay, "Crowded classrooms and half-day sessions are a tragic waste of our greatest national resource, the minds of our children."
A mind is a terrible thing.
Well, I think it's to waste.
you say it your way, I'll say it mine.
I like the Ministry album, which was, if I remember correctly, The Mind is a Terrible Thing to Taste.
Oh.
Delicious.
Yeah, there is.
Delicious.
And that's even before they knew about prions. So.
Uh-huh.
I prey on prions.
Prions?
Are you a prion predator?
I am a prion predator who preys on prions periodically.
And what is your opinion of prawns?
Possibly. I don't know. I think it begins with P. Oh! You win this round, Widge.
How very pusillanimous.
See, that's what. That's the English degree is really paying off.
Finally! How many episodes did it take?
Holy shit. We're closing in on 200, I believe.
Are we really? Wow.
Woo. Yeah, Rox, because you managed to sync that tracker device onto it, we're closing in on it.
That's good. My work is done.
I'm not sure exactly. How far off are we? Do you know? What number are we on?
Oh, we've been off for far. We're far off. From 200.
I think we're like 15 away, right?
Something.
Close the year by getting to 200.
I'm looking.
Something like
that. No, this is episode 190 right here.
Oh, okay. So 20 weeks then.
Yep. So there you go. Wow.
20 weeks. When would that be? Be right in the heart of Dragon Con.
Oh, God.
Let's see. I'm getting
as opposed to its spleen.
What date is 20 weeks from now? Everyone should listen to me type.
I can't hear you typing, though.
Yeah, neither can I.
Oh, well.
You're failing our listeners.
Yes, but having drawn attention to it, people will imagine typing was occurring.
August.
What is a typewriter?
Assuming we did the podcast, it would be the podcast immediately after. Not immediately after. It'd be right before Dragon Con.
Dragon Con, boo, boo,
August 6th.
Doo, 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 doo. You know we can always double up.
That's what she said.
And then there's podcasting.
I don't know. What the hell do you want from me? You get what you pay for.
Pause that refreshes.
So August 6th. We should really just have it there. Anything in August.
Yeah, that's what we do is we do Weekend Justice and we record 5 minutes of it at every panel that we do. And mm-hmm. just splice it together.
Oh my God, yeah.
Sounds awesome.
Oh my God, we should do that.
As long as I don't have to do the editing.
You know
what?
Waiting for people to sit and stuff and we just try to continue.
But you know, don't we use those in the off weeks?
Yeah, we do. Yes.
Every week is an off week.
Now we have to excise this because people will find out the magic of how this show is done.
That's okay. We
it's all done with illusion. It's an illusion. People.
I'm gonna turn off my AC. As
George Burns once said, it's all done with grapes and mirrors.
Right.
Yep.
We send hallucinogenic type of information through your earbuds as you're listening.
No, that's totally Apple. If you're using iTunes, there's extra drugs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
See, Dragon Con is...
far away.
163 days from now.
Toughly, to be fair.
Is it real? No, what?
Yeah, only 163 days from now.
Oh, 100. I thought you said 63 days. I'm like, holy crap. People need to get their printing in to be.
You'd have to be on drugs to use iTunes?
No. I was just going to say that iTunes, the drugs that come with iTunes are basically opiates because of all the pain.
Well, yes, but they're not supposed to work on Windows, Widge.
No, that's all you get with Windows is pain, so thus opiates.
Ah.
I'm sorry. That's the EP opiate by Tool.
Oh, dear God. Are you becoming a complete Apple convert?
Who me?
What are you talking about?
Talking to Widge. He's speaking ill of Windows.
No. I can't afford to buy a Mac computer.
But if people were to donate, where could they donate for your Mac computer?
They go to necoffee.com/support. And it, if every listener on this podcast were to give $100, I could probably afford them back. Because I did. I looked
you
at
get
it.
A mini.
It's got to be more. There's got to be more than 700 people that listen to this, right? Because that's what, 700,000?
No, it's a, you can get one of the 27-inch ones for like around $1,300.
Well, you can get a mini for $600.
That's not like a real one. You use it for something else. You touted, I have a mini because it's an additional. You did. Do you use it fully?
When I'm using a desktop, yeah.
Really? What do you have for a monitor?
About a 22-inch.
Oh, okay. See, there you go. A mini is like $500.
Bragger.
Bucks. Yeah, I know.
See, but Rox, as a very wise philosopher once said, I do need 27 inches.
That's right. I do. It's awesome. It's like, you know, what Alfred would use at the Batcave. He is a bum. What? I never said he was a bum.
What?
Alfred is not a bum, John. What? Don't use that for Alfred. That's wrong.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I know.
Well, you could have said Robin was the bum, but you can't now, can you? Because that would be too soon, DC.
Yeah. I don't know. He died in the comic, didn't he? Robin?
Yeah, I think they killed
multiple
off
times.
The current ones. They killed off the current one just like a couple of weeks ago. I'm not spoiling this in the comics because every website spoiled it.
And no one reads DC anyway, so.
No one reads DC anyway.
Yeah, who is the current Robin anyway?
The current Robin was Damian.
I thought it was the one from the Howard Stern show.
Damian?
I'm sorry, did you say the one from the Howard Stern show?
Yeah.
Oh.
No. I'm thinking Damian from the Antichrist. Oh my God, wouldn't that be great? The Antichrist as a superhero?
Oh, interesting.
What?
No, it's not very interesting. As I said out loud, I realized it wasn't very interesting.
Oh.
But he was typing.
That
typing is so fucking loud.
That DragonCon uses Drupal now as for their website.
What's Drupal?
Drupal is an operating system that was created by Droopy, the dog.
It's a content management system for the web.
So wait, you're saying it's the proprietary IP of MGM?
Hello, folks.
You know what? I don't have a bottle opener.
Your floor, sir.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, you're being invaded by dogs.
What in the hell is happening?
Oh, this is the first time I went to their site. It's weird.
Say goodnight to everybody.
Goodnight.
Bye. Bye, little kid.
Bye. Who are you?
Oh, my God. Who's looked at the new Dragon Con website?
By the way, listeners, kids under 18 must be accompanied by a parent.
My God, my son just scared the crap out of me. He tries to do this thing where he hides from me.
Ah.
This time he actually did a very good job of hiding. He snuck up behind me and could have killed
me.
Wait a minute.
Is your son doing the Kato thing?
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
I turned around to try and find a bottle opener, and there he was, just staring at me.
I am looking at the site. It's I like the big ass graphics. I think the little slideshow down at the bottom needs serious tweaking, but it's not bad.
Yeah,
it's an improvement on the old website, though.
Certainly, yeah. Except I guess it is a little bit more difficult to find a couple of things on here, but. Only because
because
I'm used to the old one, so
yeah.
Having to hack around the old one. It's very pretty. It is very pretty.
Oh my gosh, the dealer room is now gonna be at the America's Mart.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so now they have
it used to be there.
Hell, the whole thing used to be there.
This is true. Yeah. Yeah.
So what is the deal with the mini versus the regular Mac besides just the fact that they crammed it all into a coaster?
Well, you have to buy your own peripheral things. Got to buy a monitor, a keyboard, the mouse.
But if you already have a monitor and a keyboard and a mouse, then...
Then there you go. How many gigs is it?
You mean RAM or...
Whatever. Tell us the specs.
The specs, I think now you can get, if you got a new one, you could get like a 500 gig, I think, hard drive in it.
Yeah, there's a 2.5 dual core with 4 gig of RAM and a 500 gig hard drive, and then a 2.3 gig quad core with 4 gig of memory and a terabyte hard drive.
And it's the size of a hockey puck.
Is that the specs on the new one? Because I think some of the newer ones have an i5 and an i3.
I don't know. These are i5s and i7s, respectively.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Not the one I have.
Right.
I have one from a couple of years back. It still has a CD drive in it. Actually, it's one of the super drives, but they stopped putting drives in the Macs.
You have no drives in a Mac?
I have one in mine, and all of the ones that we have still have the media drives in them, but I know the newer ones don't.
So how the hell are you supposed to use the DVD or something?
Well, for one thing, I have an extra external one hooked up anyway, because I just have some spare.
Okay.
So you can still plug an external one in with like a USB.
Gotcha.
It says here that they're getting rid of Robert Jordan's Wheel of Time and Anne McCaffrey's Worlds.
You mean Dragon Con and the Tracks?
Yeah.
They're wiping them off of...
They're wiping it off.
Enjoy them now, because even your memory of them is going to be gone.
That's right.
They're rebooting.
I don't know. I still remember Anne McCaffrey like almost like running over several people in her little scootabout.
On purpose or
kind of?
Oh,
they were zombies.
Yeah, I was in the elevator with Rogue from the Shadows, and we were like, holy crap, we were like having to scoot out of the way so we wouldn't get our wheels or our feet trampled under
maybe she was trying to hit him.
Maybe
anything's possible.
Mm-hmm.
You and your loud music in the hallways. What the hell are you saying anyway?
That's right.
God. Well, all right. So Rox.
Yes.
I want to talk Walking Dead.
Okay.
Because I want to say this, and I want to see what your reaction to this. Now, Tuffle, are you watching? I can never remember who the hell's watching what.
I know what's going on in it. Go ahead.
Okay. This is probably the weakest episode in the entire series.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. I'm glad it's not. Because I'm like.
Because you don't really care what happens to Andrea, right?
Well.
Not really.
Well, here's the problem. Is that they have written her so badly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is not the character from the comics.
No, but see, it's not even that. It's not even that, because it's.
They
it's,
wrote Lori better.
Well,
that's not saying much.
Well, yeah, no, but they did. They have actually written Laurie a lot better on the TV show than they did in the comic.
Well, yeah.
Well, but I mean, the thing is, I don't even care, because I mean, you know, Herschel's a completely different character.
Mm-hmm.
Carl is quite tweaked. You know, hell, Carol's might as well not. I mean, it's just in name that she's Carol, right?
Because
you remember Carol in the comic.
Mm-hmm.
So, So I don't care that it's not Andrea. I mean, my hope is that like Carol becomes badass sniper person, because I like badass sniper person, whatever you call her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But my problem is, it's like, and okay, spoilers. Here we go.
It could be what's his name, the black chick, the other black chick.
Well, we'll get to Tyrese in a second, because that's also a disappointment.
Yeah.
But my thing is, it's like, you finally could have done something if, I mean, both her and Milton both are just so, at least Milton is mildly interesting somewhat. You know what I mean? At least he is the meek scientist guy stuck between a rock and a hard place. Andrea is just fucking stupid.
But, well, spoilers. We know Milton's been cast in something else, so he's not coming back.
Oh, well, there you go.
Well, here's the thing I have a problem with Milton, and I liked the Milton character in the comic, is...
Well, there is no Milton character in the comic.
Well, there was the doctor. They had a
doctor. There was a doctor, yes.
Where, you know, his dark secret was, you know, he was a drug addict. You know, whereas Milton really doesn't have any vice. So I don't know why the governor has some toehold over him. Other than he's milk toast.
Well, I think as revealed in this episode, Milton knew the governor when he was still Philip.
Neighbor or something. Sure. Something. I'll buy that.
But I mean,
he was secretly Wilson from Home Improvement.
My God, yeah.
Wow. Wilson, why have you suddenly got an eye patch?
Yeah.
But the fact that Andrea didn't go ahead and shoot the governor.
I know.
When Milton is bare, I mean, it's like, so he's grabbed your gun. Fire the pistol.
I know.
I have a feeling he'll let go.
She had two times she could have killed him.
And I thought the first one, we were going to see her get killed, quite frankly.
Well, yeah, but it's like, really? Where is your sensibilities lie? They really cocked this up. And all they did was make this as, you know, the most dangerous game episode. That's all this was.
Okay, that is doing a disservice to the most dangerous game.
I know it is. However, I couldn't help not make the analogy.
Oh well, of course. That's the, you know, the seminal humans hunting other humans story. But my thing is, it's like the concept of it would have been great if it had been part of an episode and not the entire freaking episode.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, but it's like, oh, well, if you shoot him, then Martinez takes over, and then where would we be? I'm like, I'm sorry, Martinez doesn't strike me as a born leader, okay?
No.
I doubt he's going to lead anybody to shit.
Well, and Martinez has already said to Dale.
Yeah.
And his other brother, Dale.
The ghost of Dale.
That's a different show.
Is it? Are you sure? Maybe the...
Bob Newhart fighting zombies. It happened.
Oh my God! Yeah.
Oh.
I watched a Bob Newhart last night.
Sheriff is still asleep and he's about to. He's gonna wake up and everything's normal.
Oh my God! That's right, John. That's brilliant. Rick wakes up and he's in bed with Bob Newhart's wife.
Which one?
From the original show.
Okay,
he's in bed with Suzanne Plachet.
No, well, it would be funny if he wakes up with the blonde one from Newhart.
That is one of my favorite series endings of all time.
And then why are we in Vermont?
No. He wakes up with Daryl and his other brother, Daryl, and his other brother, Daryl. Because it's AMC, and it's the modern time.
How has no one done... Every single fucking Walking Dead t-shirt under the sun has been done. How have we not had Daryl and his other brother, Daryl, and his other brother, Daryl?
I don't know.
Seriously.
I was going to say, though, Martinez has already, you know, talked with Daryl about, you know, neither of them essentially want to shoot each other, but they know they have to.
Right.
And, you know, Martinez might actually be a step up at this point, really. You're right. Martinez isn't going to go fight anybody. What does he care? He'll just live.
This is, you know, people like that, that's their chance to, live out their Beyond Thunderdome experience, regardless of the fact that, you know, you're having to deal with, you know, zombies and crap, you know, the undead that will rip your head off. I want to see this in a Walking Dead or something. Remember that short video? The guy zombie who is in a penguin costume.
Yes.
I love that one. I want to see more shit like that. I want to see zombies and snuggies are all tattered and crap.
What happened to Chuck E. Cheese? That's what you want to know?
Yeah. I want to see weird crap like that.
the zombie cosplayers from the Comic-Con.
Oh my god, yeah. Renfester zombies. You know, football players, you know, zombies. People in Snuggies. I want to see that.
Rox, you want the crowd from Day of the Dead is basically what you're saying.
Yeah.
One where you had the clown, the football player, the ballerina.
Exactly. Yes. Oh my gosh. And then, you can even sneak in hitchhikers, you know, people in bathrobes and crap. For Hitchhiker's Guide.
Rox, you would really appreciate there was a relatively short-lived comic book series called Living with Zombies, where there's a zombie apocalypse. And these two guys basically do what you would do if there was a zombie apocalypse. Like running around killing zombies with a katana blade with no pants on, driving a monster truck through the middle of their town, ripping off the comic book store. I mean, just basically...
But I still want to know why, you know, Dale, you know, instead of driving up to a really nice RV place and getting a really snazzy one, oh, we'll just drive this piece of shit one that I've had forever.
Well,
he could have gotten ones that like pull out.
I think it's rather unbelievable that at least as we've seen in Georgia, as many freaking RV places that are in the middle of nowhere, that they haven't passed at least one.
I know. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Women dressed up as like Flo and Alice from Alice and stuff, you know? I'm gonna see stuff like that.
What happened at medieval times?
Oh my gosh, yeah. People from medieval times. Well, I said Renfest. You can throw in some steampunkers too.
What about what's its face? That theme park in Florida, Holy Land?
Oh my gosh, yeah, people dressed up as Jesus. But then here's the thing, you'd mistaken those as people wearing Snuggies. Just saying.
Did you see Simon's photos from there?
Well, they have been resurrected, Rox.
Time out. Something important was just said. Simon went to Holy Land?
Yes, he did.
Oh my god.
He went this past week. Yeah.
Of course he did.
Did you go up and see him?
No, I actually, ironically, he was in town for my friend's, what do you call it? It's called a wedding, but I would like to say that it was undercover.
Massacre?
Secret?
Oh.
Secret wedding, I guess?
Secret wedding, really?
Yeah. So,
do you know a bigamist?
No.
Were there parasites?
I know a little miss, though. What? What's that?
Were there parasite tuxedos involved?
No, I don't think. Okay. I mean, yes, and other things. I forgot my improv rules.
Jesus.
No. So he had come in town, and I was actually at the Magic Kingdom and Epcot during the same time. So he had actually come into town, and I was actually in Orlando at the same time. Although our paths never crossed. Yeah, so no, he did go to Holy Land. He posted a bunch of photos and comments on said photos.
You know, that's the thing about Facebook. Sometimes they don't post all your friends' stuff. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Okay. Just double checking.
That's a thing they do.
I know.
That's okay. You're not really friends with those people anyway.
Yeah.
So the other thing is, I'm really saddened that they brought Tyrese in and he's done pretty much nothing.
Nothing.
The entire time that he's been around,
Do you think it's to lock the guy in for next year?
What do you mean? I mean, they can lock him in with writing a character, can't they?
Well, yes, but it's, you know. I don't know.
Here's my question. Are they going to do the prison for another season?
I think so.
Oh, all right.
I don't see how they can resolve everything in, what, two episodes?
I know, but this whole let's meet up, let's not, let's, you know, this whole let's play war type of thing is getting kind of old.
Well, my thing was, I was actually fine with stuff up until this episode, because now it's because it makes sense. Everything they've done has made sense up until like now. And then I'm just like, okay, it's there's too much. You've done the whole thing. Okay, we're going to war, right? And you had
did
that
it seem
nice...
like padding to you?
What, this episode?
Yes.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Did it seem most like definitely. Padding to you in like the Bendis Daredevil sense?
Ooh.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
To war. All I can think of is, you know, when they said, yeah, we're going to war. It's like, oh, that's duck soup.
Nice. Well, but I'm like, you go from that to this episode. So you've basically deflated all of the suspense and momentum that you've built up.
Yeah.
Like, why would you do that?
I don't know. But yeah, I am disappointed in the whole Tyrese storyline. It's like, okay.
Well, he would have to have a storyline first.
Well, yeah, I mean, what passes for a storyline is, okay, let's have this random conversation between these characters that we really don't know all that well, and try to develop them that way. It's like, no, that's really awkward and weird. And, okay, Rox, I will admit, I am to the point where I'm over the fucking songs ending every goddamn episode.
Holy crap. It's like, do we really need this? Especially that weird House of Horror thing at the last part of this. Like, really? Oh, and
you
then we'll have
you know the soundtrack album
door
came out this week,
opening
right?
up. It's like,
you're probably not going to want the soundtrack album that came out this week.
No.
Well, no. Because, I mean, now I will say this. It's fine. When you're using songs that actually make sense, like The Regulators from Clutch, that one episode, and then the Tom Waits thing made sense. But then it's like, okay, come on, what the fuck?
Now it's a song each time.
Yeah, but it's also like tacked on at the end, like, well, we need to include this somewhere. Let's just stick it here.
I know.
So
it would be really great if, you know, if they're... You know, because Woodbury has electricity.
Mm.
Okay. To me, it would have made sense if, you know, he was playing it on, I don't know, we'll say an MP3 player or something, you know, and it was coming through there. Not like, oh, here's some music. Oh, I just, it's so tropey. I don't like it. Either you have a soundtrack, because most of the time there is no soundtrack.
Right.
You know, yeah. I think as Woodbury is finally being destroyed, Rolling in the Deep will just be...
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Unintentionally heard it on the loudspeaker, just, you know, as the town's... As Rome burns.
Wow.
There is Adele.
Yes. You know, all I could think of, well, you know, then there was that movie Duel, you know, where, you know, you're running away from
the
guy in a truck.
Car film?
No, earlier. No.
Dennis Weaver.
Dennis Weaver.
Oh, okay.
That was like Spielberg's one of his films.
Oh,
his first
that
one.
Okay.
His first one.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all I could think of. I'm like, oh my God. You know, and the thing is she had nowhere to go. I would have made sure that he didn't leave that building. And she left. Oh, I'm done. Da, 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 da. They'll take care of him. Really? She is stupid. She's a stupid, stupid woman.
Yeah.
And the character. Maybe not the actress, but you know. I mean, well, I would have. You have nowhere to go. It's the end of the world. Where do you have to go? Nowhere. Make sure he's dead. No, but what happens? She gets caught. Jeez.
I love the fact that in real time this is being worked out in your head.
Mm-hmm.
As you're explaining this. Your moral outrage over this is great. You can hear the wheels turning.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I saw it like yesterday afternoon and like, well, I'll process it later on. And it's just like, I mean, I'm watching it and I'm sort of like, sort of step back from it a little bit. It's like, I've always said that if I start doing something else during a show, they're going to lose me. And I'm sorry, this, after the break thing, I haven't really been too greatly thrilled because, okay, last week's, what happened? Oh, it was the chat.
Oh, yeah.
A whole hour on the chat.
It was,
you know, just for Rick to find out, yes, this guy is like bug shit crazy.
Didn't he kind of already know that, though?
It's a Charlie. Yeah.
From like everybody coming back to the prison and telling him, hey, this guy's batshit crazy.
Right. And then Andrew going, why am I not in on these talks? Because you know what, honey? Guess what? The misogynist world is still around.
Although, to be fair to Rick, everybody coming back to the prison from Woodbury telling him, hey, this guy's batshit crazy, is like, hold on a minute. Lori, what are you saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean...
I'm sorry, Shane, what?
Well, the one good thing that you had from the chat episode was the fact that you saw the really great bit of the, you know, quote-unquote, the troops chatting, which is so normal of, you know, the leaders want to go to war. The regular people are like, I don't fucking care. I'm fine. Whatever. Which was nice, but could have been handled a lot better.
Yeah, to me, it just had that whiff of, you know, World War One, and we have that armistice. Yeah. Let's play soccer now.
Well, and, but I will say, coming back from the break, the Clear episode with Lenny James was fucking immense.
Mm-hmm. It was.
Having him come back, which I was just like, you know, I knew it was going to happen. I still wish they had done the Christmas story because I think that would have been nice. But he was just on fire. I mean, damn. So yeah, I don't know. I'm worried. One episode is all it takes to knock me out and make me go, okay, now I am actively worried.
Right. Yeah, I would agree with that. Yes.
So,
and the thing is just like all the other shows, it's like, okay, how can, I mean, when you consider AMC has had problems with writers and the creators and whatever, I don't know what next season would be. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if there's another showrunner, honestly.
Well,
I mean, what are the numbers? What are the numbers at this point? I mean, is there
still pretty? I think they're hovering around 6 or 7 still.
I mean, I'm almost want to say, okay, I'm done. When's Mad Men start? That starts up in a couple.
That's what I was about to say.
Yeah,
that's what I was about to say. When is Mad Men coming back?
April, I think the 6th, 7th.
If I want a television show with a slow, deliberate pace, I'll pick the one I started with. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Right. I didn't come to you for slow, deliberate plots.
Right. That's the thing. I think that's, you're right. You are correct on this because it's like,
there's already a show on AMC with slow, deliberate plots.
Well, right. Well, okay, there's that new, who has that new one that, what's her name is in it now? Moss. Who has that show where she's a cop?
I don't know.
Oh, well, anyway, that too has a slow, deliberate burn.
Yeah.
However, I think you're kind of correct on this. It's where they're located. It's not like you had the immediacy of hordes of zombies like the end of The Farm. You know, it seems like, oh, you run into a few. You don't run into, like, that really cool episode in the comic where the herd is coming, you know, and they, you know, I think because of budget. It's like, oh, we have a couple zombies. You know, it's almost like you're used to them.
Well,
yeah, and they can't do the Spartacus thing of let's just CGI an army.
Right.
Because even on Spartacus, it looks fucking cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but my thing is this. It's like they at least have established that there are hordes that are like running around that have basically, they've been moving from place to place over the winter because of them.
Right.
So it is conceivable that they're simply between, you know, waves at this point. And the other thing is they've at least been trying to be quiet for the most part. Yeah. Now I will say for numbers, when they came back with episode 9, they did 12.26. Then through the latest episode went 11.05, 11.01, 11.3, 11.46, and this latest one was 10.84. So I don't know. Is that even good? I don't even know if that's good.
Yes, that is still good. That is higher than Mad Men numbers.
And that is higher. That is higher than the first half of the season.
Yeah.
So right. And you know, even their lowest 10.84 is higher. It's pretty much equal with the first episode of this season.
Yeah.
And higher than every other one. So.
Yeah, that's still higher than Breaking Bad or Mad Men do. So.
Wow. But no, the one thing that bothers me though is that I think there's all these people. Oh well, it's like where are the zombies? Why are all these people talking? And I'm like, do you actually understand the genre that you're watching? I mean, and some of these people are like, you know, geeks and stuff. It's like, do you really know what you're watching? That is entirely what George Romero set up. It's not about the zombies. It's about the people. And in fact, you know, that great bit in the comic of, you know, we are the Walking Dead. It's not the zombies, which I think is genius. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's people talking. It's what otherwise it's just, you'd get really bored if it was just nothing but zombie attack after zombie attack.
Well. Yeah.
Well, if you only did that for 15 minutes and put it in Adult Swim, it would get a larger audience.
28 cliches later. Oh, yeah. God. So, but I will say this. Unless, did anyone else want to say something about Walking Dead?
No.
Or have we basically double tapped it and move on?
My only thought was, I mean, does anybody really care if Andrea, what happens to her, really?
No.
Honestly? Yeah.
Well, no, but as far as caring, I don't see, they've written her into a cul-de-sac and not just because of where she wound up at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
I think Michonne will like try to save her.
Well,
but I think thematically that makes sense.
But I mean, in theory, no,
well, because that's
one,
how the
including
started,
Milton, doesn't know she's there.
Right.
So if they wanted to write a real villain, creepy, you know, this is something you find out in the headlines years later that he has kept this person, you know, prisoner. That's the way to go. You know, that nobody knows that she's there. And he could torture the crap out of her forever. But
well,
they're not going to do that.
Well, the problem is this, and I'm almost.
Well, as a weekly series rocks, I don't think that'll work.
This week on torture porn.
This week on. So,
Eli Roth presents. No. My thing is that I'm almost thinking that it's not David Morrissey's fault, but I think the character of the governor is going just a little too wacko.
Really?
Well, because. Okay, first of all, you had that.
Enough.
No, no, but here's
no.
The thing.
For Rox to date, at least, he's not wacko.
I know. But Rox, here's my thing. It's like seeing the setup at the beginning of the episode, which we recognize from the comic, was just like, oh, fuck. But seeing him get on his knees and put his hands in like the links and look like he's having half an orgasm. I was like, that's a little telegraphed. We don't need that. We know he's a pervert and a weirdo. And, it's like, it's to me, that's like, It's like Stephen King talked, and I probably brought this up before. Stephen King was talking about the really great point of if you know there's a monster behind the door and you open the door and it's a 10-foot tall bug, you can think, well, at least it wasn't a 100-foot tall bug. And if you open the door and it's a 100-foot tall bug, you think, oh, at least it wasn't a 1,000-foot tall bug. But if you don't open the door, then you're just left with, oh my God, oh my God. And the fact that you have these moments with the governor of being slick as shit.
Yeah.
And then like turning it on, the crazy, turning on the crazy, like seeing just a little flash of crazy as opposed to just full on crazy.
Yeah.
I worry that, you know, once you start down that road, you can't, you know, I mean, you can't unring that bell.
I think what they're, and I've heard this comment, particularly with Morrissey's governor. Mm. And the statement is, well, because there are a lot of cases where you can, especially where they've made the point where they can justify some of the governor's actions to a point.
Mm.
And I've seen the comment that there are people who, up till this episode, still sort of understood it from the governor's standpoint. So I think in the writer's room, they must have gotten a sense of, okay, we've lightened him up too much. Now we need to throw it up to 12 just to get people to hate him.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Well, that kind of makes sense for the demise, spoiler alert for those, of him later on.
Well, you know, assuming they do it the same way.
Right, but the thing is, you know, right, when you compare the governor in, you know, the comic, it's like, no one would date that. I mean, he looks like he's somebody that, you know, that they pulled out of a roadhouse. This guy's charm. I mean, he's so not what the comic is, charming, and which is pretty much that of a sociopath, psychopath.
Yeah, and part of it, I think, is because they knew they were trying to do a slow burn with David Morrissey. And I think the other thing is because Morrissey can play that really well kind of do that turn.
Yeah.
Because, God, Blackpool. But I think part of the reason that shift has happened is because I think they've done – the writers in the early bit of the season did too good of a job. Making people sort of not so much, well, at least understand the governor's actions as much as the people, you know, Rick's group. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, but I'm like,
and I think that was what they were trying to do, but I think they need to have him be the villain now, and they need the entire audience to look at him and go, okay, he's
well,
the bad.
No, I kind of agree with that because there was the actions that Rick has been doing. You're like, huh?
Well, you know? but to be fair, what has Rick not done? Let's see. He's not come close to raping someone.
No.
Okay. He has not beaten someone to death or tried to sic a zombie on them. He has not, when no firefight is going on whatsoever, and there's no seemingly nothing going on, sniped the dude in the head from like 100 yards away. He has not driven through somebody's front door and basically unloaded a zombie truck equivalent of a dirty bomb. I mean, anybody who doesn't know that the governor is the villain, I worry about them. And you should get far away from them. Because the moment that he, you know, okay, fine. You bring in Maggie and Glenn and you're trying to figure out who they are. Are they a threat whatsoever? But the moment he's like, yeah, take off your shirt. It's just like, okay, all right. Now we know who you are. You're a fucking maniac.
And exactly.
Yeah, you are a mad dog. So I'm like, if you don't get it by that point, oh, come on.
Yeah. I think the other thing that they were trying to sell is was Rox's question of how the hell Andrea can be so stupid.
I think
they're trying to sell it. I think they're trying to have it both ways. I think they're trying to sell it.
if you're
Andrea's POV, that okay, I don't get all of this until I see the other end of it, and that's when crazy bonkers happens.
But I mean, okay, you're with somebody that has saved your ass for months, and all of a sudden you're like questioning her. I mean, yes, Michonne never really talked to her and stuff like that, but she kept Andrea alive because remember she had that fevers and infection, whatever. And then all of a sudden it's like, you know, I would sort of, you know, latch on to like, yeah, I'm going to go with you too.
Well,
now, you might know something I don't.
Well, now part of the other problem with that, Rox, is that Michonne never gave details. She was just like, oh,
she didn't tell her anything.
Yeah.
No.
Told the governor more than told Andrea. What the hell?
Yeah.
But I'm like, I can understand. That part I understood. Of yes, you kept me alive. You're a little crazy, but you kept me alive. But here, feel safe, and I need safe so bad right now that I am willing to stick it out here. Now I'm good with that up until heads and tanks. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm also good with that up until you kept your zombie daughter locked in a closet? What?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm like, there's a certain point at which they go beyond credibility of a character acting a certain way.
Yeah.
Which is sad because it made sense. Like, for example, for Andrea, it makes sense for her to come back later and go, yeah, okay, the zombie fighting thing, yeah, all right, I kind of liked it too. Because it's like, I mean, really, we're in a civilization that enjoys, like, you know...
reality television?
No, not even that. Football. Football and Ultimate Fighting Championship, right? So, mm-hmm. I mean, we acknowledge the fact that we need the ability to let off steam. And the governor, to his credit, that was the way to do it. He staged the whole fucking thing. It was just wrestling with zombies. I mean, that was the thing that I thought was handled the best. Is now, you know, no, it's not that big of a deal. I know it's a bit of a shock. I'm, you know, maybe I should have warned you, but sorry. But yeah, heads and tanks and zombie daughter. No, that's just beyond the beyond at that point. I mean, it's, especially when you're like, you know, at no point did anyone go, so, where exactly did the heads in these tanks come from? Can I see your bill of lading where you sourced these heads and tanks? You know, I just.
So what do you think? How would you fix that though? Would you hold back on the daughter in the closet and the head reveal?
Would you
hold back on that? Would you let it? Would you have let it burned longer?
No, well, see, here's the thing. Here is the thing. I think you could have let everything burn longer.
Oh, yeah.
If you had done some of the other stuff that happened in the comic in the prison.
Yeah.
And you could have actually, I mean, I appreciated the fact that the Axel wasn't who he could have been, but you could have had that storyline, which was fucking crazy. Okay. There's you an episode right there of what the hell? And I, you know, no spoilers for anyone who wants to read the comic. Although, for God's sake, like this columnist, whatever, in San Francisco who, like, binged on Walking Dead and then came out in his column and was like, yeah, you know, after reading this, I think maybe censorship might be a good idea. Okay, he didn't exactly say that. But I'm like, know your limits, people. Walking Dead is not for pussies, okay?
And, well, the other thing that I think of, and John, you're probably going to kill me for bringing this up again, is, you know, maybe the writing room, maybe the writers, maybe Kirkman and the writers are afraid that Woodsberry becomes the others.
Well, but I think there is, you could have had enough of, I almost would have done season three is, you get slow burn in both places, right?
Yeah.
And so you have all these different things going on in the prison where, I mean, they still haven't secured the prison. The mm-hmm. prison's not secure.
No.
So there's a whole, you know, thing that you could do there. You didn't, although they came sort of close, you didn't have the really great thing of, you know, Tyrese in the gym, which would have been awesome with the hammer. Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that would have been amazing.
I wonder if that's still coming though.
Maybe because Tyrese could come back over to the prison side, but I'm like, I would have just kept him there because that's, you know, and if you had the plot going on there, but right now what's going on in the prison? Basically arguing about should we stay or leave? And that's it. Oh, and also anytime there's happy music, bracing yourself for someone to get killed. Yep. That's pretty much what's happening in the prison. But I would have done season three is build well, like executed well. And then your ending is, holy shit, you know, Michonne's in there. Michonne takes out the governor's eye, you know, takes out the daughter, basically kicks over the dominoes. So your season four is war. Your season four is, okay, build up to the end of the prison.
What would that season be good for, though?
Absolutely nothing.
Well, you could say it again, though.
Okay, well, what would that season be good for?
Well, Toffoli had it. I think absolutely nothing.
Well, it's all set up for Chris Hardwick's show afterwards.
I was going to ask, does Chris Hardwick get to host everything now? Is that how this works?
Yeah.
Okay, so, well, yeah, kind of. Well, yes. Yeah, because Lionsgate bought his blog company thing. So, and is Lionsgate still producing Walking Dead?
Yes.
Okay, so there you go.
Well, at least their logo is on there.
Yeah, so, yeah, Lionsgate is still producing Walking Dead, and they bought Hardwick's company, so yes.
Well, there you go.
Must be nice to be the king, huh?
So, anyway, so there's Walking Dead. Now, I'm 7 episodes into House of Cards.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
I'm still only 1 into it.
Oh, and really? Just,
it's not.
How did you people not binge that shit?
I did.
I
don't have time.
I just said after the first one, I was like, eh, okay, it's not high on my radar to watch.
I'm enjoying the hell out of it. There's only been like 1 week episode out of the 7 thus far.
Now, did you see the Ian Richardson House?
No, I have not.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to go back and watch it, though.
That one's fun. That one's very fun.
I do have to ask before you go into House of Card Talk.
Yeah.
Where are you on The Following?
I'm only 3 episodes into The Following.
Oh, okay. So you saw what they started to do with the kid, right?
Yeah.
Which was creepy
as hell. I'm pissed because my theory got blown.
Oh. Usually people like it when things get blown. But what was your theory?
My theory was, okay, spoilers for The Following. All right. So
you're like 4 episodes behind, dude. So
no, I know, no, but I'm just for my own sake, lest someone come and stab me, in a not cultist way. There's got to be a mole in the FBI group. That's just a given, right? I think. Oh, is that already revealed?
No, not at all.
Uh huh. Anyway,
I'm being serious.
Okay.
It's interesting because, never mind, I don't want to destroy anything for you.
Well, but yeah, don't tell me anything. My thought was that it's not Sean Ashmore because that's too obvious and that's who you would suspect, right? The young guy.
I know, yeah.
Right. And so I was thinking it's the black guy because think about it. When was the last time there have been black serial killers, right? There have been. But when was the last time you saw any black serial killer in pop culture? Like, I can't think of one. So what a great reveal to have that happen. And they blew my fucking theory. I was so upset.
I'm going to tell you that there is absolutely no one safe on that show, probably except for Kevin Bacon and Joe. Those are the...
I'm well aware.
So what? This is 24 with serial
killers? They have broken... They keep... Yeah, essentially. They keep.
Oh well, then I've already seen it.
Well, don't tell me anything else.
I know how it ends now.
They break the. They do things. It's interesting because I don't know who the writers are or if they're just pissed off people from watching other movies that say, why didn't he just, because he just does those things. So in other words, he does things that would make sense in the world that he's living in. He shoots people that need to be shot, essentially, you know.
Right.
It's not, you know, well, one of those things where, you know, oh, there's some sort of peaceful. No, there's.
But you do know.
It literally is 24 with serial killers then.
But John, you do know who created it, right?
No, I do not. Who?
The creator of Scream.
Really?
Kevin Williamson.
Really?
Yes.
Now the creator of, because the original Scream,
yes,
was very well done.
That's him.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's him.
Also Dawson's Creek, but you probably didn't want to know that.
Hey, now, hey, you got to pay the bills.
And Dawson Creek wasn't as horrible as everyone makes it out to be. So,
okay,
it had its merits. Sure, it was just a kid show, but whatever, or a tween or teen show.
Well, but you can see where with Scream, it was basically, I know this genre, let me fuck with it, right?
Yeah, and
which is what The Following is doing in spades and well
on the serious side too, where Scream was a little more campy.
Well, but yes, but it was a good old fashioned horror movie in that it wasn't dead on serious. You know what I mean? And it wasn't. Let me put you this way: it was fun to watch. Like for example, like Cabin in the Woods was fun to watch.
Still haven't seen it.
It was parodying the culture of horror movies.
Yes, but in a completely self-referential way that was just brilliant. I mean, the first Scream was great. But
it wasn't parodying
so,
horror movies themselves, but the culture around them.
Yes, yes. And it was...
Well, it makes...
So, go ahead, John.
It makes a lot of sense then. So all these things that you're saying make a lot of sense in the way that, you know, things that are happening are, they A, make sense, and B, they're like things that you could, they're how you and I would react to certain things, so.
Yeah, it's, yeah. Well, which is why, you know, the shame about Scream was it actually could have been a great franchise, but they lost that in Scream 2. The moment in the Scream movies, when you have characters doing something they would never do, That's when you've lost it.
Right.
And that happened in Scream 2, and it was just like, oh, God, damn it. So, but anyway, so yeah, to... I'm...
See, I thought it was when they actually paid off the Tori Spelling playing Sydney joke.
Huh?
Wasn't that like in Scream 4 or something?
No, that was in Scream 2. That was in the movie within a movie in Scream 2.
Oh, right. I forgot.
Which was within the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's I've only saw it the one time and was pissed off. So
when they went to the film and you know they said Tori Spelling in and once they paid off that joke I'm like okay this is done because once you've paid off that joke you can't go anywhere else.
Yeah.
We've started watching True Blood.
Really?
How is
that? We just started it, yes. Season 1.
How is it?
8 episodes in. I like it. It's although my wife says, so this is Twilight for grown-ups? Is that what this
kind
is?
Of, yeah. You're right. Yes. Yes.
I wouldn't know because I know nothing about Twilight.
So John, what it...
And that's my story and I'm sticking to it.
True Blood is to Twilight what Glee is to High School Musical.
I don't know. I mean, I'm enjoying it.
Is that how that works?
It's an interesting.
Is this an Anna Paquin thing?
There's nothing wrong with an Anna Paquin thing. Let me just say. On the record,
he's not saying anything now.
The Piano Years.
Wow! Oh!
Come on!
All right.
Wait! Hang on! Hang on! There's one more. Oh! All right, I'm done.
Oh shit!
All right. I didn't have
or see, you could just do like the what was it? The guy on Uncoupling. What was it? Jeff. Yeah. He liked to watch the piano with the sound turned down.
Yes. Okay. So what did you think of House of Cards since you're into episode 7?
Okay. Here's what I like, I'm enjoying it thus far. I like Kevin Spacey in it. I like how he is, again, he is smooth, and then he has these moments where he can turn it on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just the killer shark thing going on, right? But yeah. The person I really absolutely love mm-hmm. is Robin Wright.
Yeah, she's awesome in this.
I never would have expected.
You don't see that kind of a turn coming from her.
No,
because what's great about it is, whereas Kevin Spacey has the rheostat where he can turn it up and turn it down, she is just Lady Macbeth nonstop.
Well, I think the difference is the Kevin Spacey character, you somewhat feel for him a little bit. Where you don't really feel for her at all very much.
Now, here's the thing. He's in episode 7. You start kind of feeling a little bit for her of what her agreement with marrying him really entails.
Right.
And I don't want to say anything more.
Yeah. But,
you know, you find out later. It's like, wow, really?
Well, but the other thing, too, is that there are flashes of humanity,
mm-hmm.
which it's almost like she doesn't quite know what to do with it. You know
Correct.
What I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that to me is great fodder for an actress or actor to basically have that to play off of, these moments of self-realization that she does. And she does them really well.
Yeah.
Well, that's like Look Close and Damages, though.
Wow, which I never saw. I mean, is that should I?
I would say at least through season 3. I think it starts to jump the shark at season 4.
Yes, yes.
Although, can I say? And I need to look up the actor's name. But I was so happy to find. In fact, who is this guy? There is an actor. Character actor who appears in the 7th episode, first time he's appeared, and he's playing I need to find him. He's playing the guy who is interviewing Peter about his sordid past.
Oh yeah,
you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
You've seen him in everything.
Yeah,
I've got to find his.
And he's the one that knows all, you know, he will find out the dirt. You know, it's like, tell me now, I will find out.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, it's great to see that, because he's usually playing. And when I say this, you'll probably recognize, you won't, maybe not the name, but you'll recognize the actor. He's normally like the kindly old Jewish patriarch character.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. The one I really like is Stamper, which it's kind of
really interesting.
Well, it's interesting. And once you see the first one, then you're like, oh, okay. Here they really latch him onto where there's like this growing, you know, I'll be willing to be your henchman type of guy. And this one, I'd love to know on how really he got into his pocket, you know, because this guy doesn't, you know, he'll do anything, and he's done it.
Yeah, he's waltzing him, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So,
and I've been really pleased with Kate Mara's performance as Zoe. I think she's really interesting.
She's growing on me. At first I'm like, oh, punky girl, really? You know, it's sort of weird. I really didn't like the costume choice at first.
Right.
Of her, you know, I want to look like Watergate, you know, all the president's men. I hear I've got this army fatigue jacket. Really? No, this is 2013. You don't need it. You know, I just, I you know, I'm the girl reporter willing to jump through trash. No, I didn't buy that, but I liked on how she's her clothing sense has gotten better.
I think I got her from the first episode, the bit where she's, you know, she's fake. She's basically gotten the guy to take her to the theater.
Yeah.
And she's getting out of the cab and he starts to follow her upstairs. And she goes, listen, if I wanted to fuck you, you'd know.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. God, I can't find the actor's name. Damn it.
And that's like, yeah, okay, I can follow this.
Yeah. Yeah. I really enjoyed this. That, except we'll talk the ending the next time around when you're close to it.
Okay.
Only because I've been such a fan of the first one, and how they broke it up was, I think they had like 6 episodes, and then it progressed to, to play the king, and then there was the other one. So there were 3 separate ones, and they actually, here we broke it up. Here they're doing what normally is done in America. We carry over people a little bit. So, but I kind of like the idea of a conspiracy, and all the writers or, you know, or the news people are kind of getting freaked out. I kind of like that. But it's like too big of a conspiracy kind of a thing. You know, that to me just
that's always the problem with conspiracy plots. If you try to make it bigger more complex and more complicated, the more work you have to put in to make that work.
Correct. And the thing is in the first in the Ian Richardson, you had the one guy, you only had a very small amount of news reporters that knew what was going on. Here, it's like now all of a sudden you have 2, 4, plus that crazy guy. So you got like 5 and whoever else. It's like, that's getting too big.
Well, it's like
people,
state of play.
And when you have like 5 people go missing or something, I'm just speculating, people will notice.
It's kind of like state of play. I thought in the TV, in the first series of State of Play, the way they set that up and the way that they didn't make it that complex.
Right.
I thought was probably the best conspiracy I've ever seen on television.
Yeah.
Because it literally was 3 people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They throw out all sorts of red herrings so that it's like, oh, vast numbers of people. But it was really only 3 people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that was great.
Yes. But it's an enjoyable show. I mean, it's. Did you read up on any of the chatter of people binging on that show? I did like the first, you know, that first weekend. People were like devouring that show within a weekend. I think somebody from Slate was like, oh my God, I, you know, it's almost like the Portlandia skit where Carrie and what's his name binge on Battlestar Galactica, and they lose their jobs because they're binging on Battlestar Galactica. It's funny.
Nice.
So anyway,
well, no, I don't know. I'm enjoying it. I think it's got, I mean, it's, as far as the conspiracy goes, I think the great thing about it is you talk about people knowing, really, the only person in the story who knows everything, like the entire conspiracy, is probably in order. Frank knows all of it, obviously.
Yeah.
And then next comes Doug. And really, his wife doesn't know everything. Zoe doesn't know everything. So, I mean, it's like everyone has all these pieces. And if they had enough sense to just talk to each other, they probably would, oh, really? Holy shit. But nobody ever does that.
Right. So, and you can see he's methodically, that's what he's doing on purpose.
Yeah.
And the thing is I don't even think Frank knows where Doug hid the hooker.
Well, no, he does. Because he said, does? I might need to involve Nancy.
Well, no, I know, but he doesn't like.
Oh, no, he doesn't know the details.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, something's up with Doug. I'm not sure what.
I don't either. I'd like to know what, you know, just knowing from the last you know, the Ian Richardson one. It's like, wow, yeah. That's kind of interesting. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, if it turns out to be the serial killer Kevin Bacon's chasing on the other show.
Oh, that'd be funny.
Oh, man.
Actually, the thing I liked about this show opposed to the Brit one, and I don't know how true it is, you know, you just don't see this on C-SPAN and stuff, is the back, you know, the back room type, how we get a bill passed and stuff. I really enjoy that. This was
the uglier version of the West Wing.
Yeah.
And they had to do the West Wing. That makes some of the West Wing things look polite.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, him dealing with the secretary, whatever her name is, and then him roping her. And then on how quickly people turn on each other. Because it's like, oh, I got my stupid kid in the Stanford. I'll do anything for you now, Frank. It's really? You know, and he knows on how to play people's guilt up, you know, because she never sees her kid. So it's like,
it also plays on
the least I can do.
It also plays on your perception of politics, too, because you do think these people will just change in the wind. And voila, they do. So,
you know, if I was a politician, I would look closely at this show, just like, oh, notes. Christ, I don't. Yeah, take notes, because I don't want to be this guy.
Kevin Spacey, be Kevin Spacey's wife.
Right.
Well, the other thing, too, is that basically, it's not even just, oh, you got my kid into Stanford. It's that thing of, you know, Frank asked the favor of Peter and now is basically molding Peter to be governor. Now, granted, he's using Peter.
Oh, okay.
But Peter is going to get something out of it. Yeah. The episode 7, spoilers for House of Cards, episode 7 is basically where Peter has said, yes, I will run for governor. Okay. Doug has put the hooker into Nancy's house. Peter's back with what's her face? Supposedly. And it's the Father's Day conversation Zoe, which is delightfully creepy.
Oh my god, it's so the creepiest. Yes, totally creepy.
But executed well.
And
that's weird to say, can I just say? Yeah. But handled really well so that it makes sense and isn't like, ugh.
I don't know. So, I'm still creepy.
No, it's still but not so that it takes you out of the show. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Actually, like, it's almost like, okay, this is apropos.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's in keeping with his character and his desire.
Or even her character, because she's made a point of, you know, I don't ask my parents for shit. She wasn't even going to call her dad for Father's Day.
She didn't even know it was Father's Day.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. And I think so you said are they doing basically the three miniseries that they did in the UK as these two series?
I don't know how they're doing this, because technically in the Ian Richardson one, after the sixth episode, it's like, wow, he did that, holy crap. Which I won't spoil it, because
wasn't there like a time jump or something between the series?
Yeah, there is. Yeah. Okay. Yes. It's like, like so many.
From what I can tell, they don't seem to be wanting to make a time jump.
No.
Here. So I'm not sure how that would work.
I don't think they almost can't. I mean, if you're a senator, you could be a senator for life, you know, but if you're going to be, if you want to, This is the thing I don't understand. If he's gunning to be, you know,
in the cabinet,
you only have 4 years.
Yeah.
It's like, but if you're a senator, you could be senator for life.
Well, but he is, I think he's playing a really, really long game.
It's like a long game of, can you step down after you're part of the cabinet and go back to being a senator? That's, oh my gosh, call in for you know, NPR tomorrow for that question.
Yeah. Yeah, I
what VP ever stepped down and became, you know, a senator?
Well, I mean, that's the I don't know that he, I think he is just going for power. I don't think he cares where it is.
Right.
Because remember,
he'd rather, he'd rather not be the face guy. He'd rather not be the face guy. I think Secretary of State was about as far as he wanted to go because you still have, because you still have power, but you can still.
But again, that's
you're still out there enough, but you're not out there a lot.
But again, that's 4 years. And now here's the thing. Even off of all the secretaries of state that we've known, Madeleine Albright, Warren Christopher, you know, whoever else, those are the ones I liked. Anyway, what are they doing? Or even Hillary Clinton. It's like, okay, now we're going to go on speaking tours.
Is he
going to be a guy that goes on speaking tours? No.
I think, you know,
that sounds like
a thoroughly interesting series, though.
I
still think it's a long-term revenge story against not shafting him out of the cabinet position in the first place.
Right. Unless...
I don't think he even cares if he actually gets in the cabinet.
Unless he's gunning for the top job.
Yeah. I think he wants, of which
all I could think of is, what was that Burt Lancaster film? Where the military almost did like a full coup on the U.S., and it was Kirk Douglas and Burt Lancaster. Awesome film. However, I can't remember the title.
It's called I Don't Remember the Title.
Shut up. But anyway, all I could think of is like, oh, okay, I'll be president and we'll reverse the amendment that allowed Franklin Delano Roosevelt to be president for three terms.
Wasn't that amendment, they put it in after. That's one clarification.
Yeah, it was only a kind of gentleman's agreement that you would step down after two terms.
Right, that was established by George Washington, according to the Hall of Presidents at Magic Kingdom.
That's where I get all my information.
Yeah, I don't even think he actually cares about getting a seat in cabinet. He just wants to watch all these people burn.
Yeah.
I think that's what he wants. I think if he didn't have to have the attempt at being ambitious, because, you know, his wife is kind of pushing him toward that, I think he would be happy with where he is. But the thing is...
7 days in May. Sorry.
Yeah.
See that film, people. It is good.
But I think you have to look ambitious in the position he's in.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and I think that basically... they are both ambitious. I mean, they push each other.
Oh, yeah. Yes. She totally is.
And I think if you stop, I think that's... I don't think there is any stopping. It's just ambition for ambition's sake.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and we got a great glimpse into his mind when she said, I promise you'll never be bored. I promise that our life is going to be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. This is true.
So, and that's not, I promise that I will, you know, have the, you know, the ultimate power in the land. It's just that I promise that we're going to go for it.
Cause like I said, I don't even think he wants that. He'd rather be behind a curtain pulling strings.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
I think he wants power. And however it comes, whether it's got a title on it or not.
Yeah.
Because I mean, he was basically the majority whip and doing what he does, which we assume he's been doing this entire time. Mm-hmm. So he's been the guy basically running the show, even if the people who think they're running the show don't know he's running the show.
Yeah.
And I mean, and he's smart enough to know that that's exactly where you want to be, because it's the people who look like they're running the show that get targeted.
I think for him, the worst fate in the world is to end up as the president.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I don't think that's where he wants to end up.
Right.
No, I think the crux of the series is that where he ends up? So.
Oh, my God. So basically what you're saying is that it's like the end of Chronicles of Riddick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Or even to a not very well executed The End of the Shield. where he basically gets stuck at a desk job.
Or like the end of St. Elsewhere, where you find out it's all in a snow globe.
Yeah.
Yes, but it's all in a snow globe, so technically now so is House of Cards.
Is House of Cards connected to that?
I don't know. It's it, you know, though, it's in the greater Baltimore area, and I swear to God, if they try to make a connection to the Baltimore universe, then it might as well be.
Well, you do have Reggie Cathy from the Wire, which I think is fantastic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'd say. If there is an actual established connection made to the Baltimore universe, then yeah, it's in Timmy Westfall's mind.
But here's the thing. And knowing that he's been doing other work while waiting for Game of Thrones, you know who I would love to see in this? Just cause? Is Aidan Gillen.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's just so good. I like him a lot. I was so happy for his little cameo in Dark Knight Rises just because, oh, excellent, there you are.
Yes.
Fantastic. So... yeah, no, I am enjoying House of Cards. I've been keeping up on that and Top Gear. So,
yeah, did you get to the other the second part of the Alfred special?
Yes, I did. That was a fantastic special with lots of crazy shit in it. Now, hopefully you would know. You would know the answer to this. How much of it is planned and staged, and how much is improvised? Like, obviously, airbag going off in the car with Jeremy, probably not staged, you know?
Probably not staged, but they know enough about cars to imagine that was a possibility.
Oh, I'm sure. But it's just like, how much of the crazy stuff that we see is actually staged?
Well, what they've said, and I've heard Clarkson and May say that as much as they do stage things as part of the races and such, the stuff that works the best is the stuff that actually just happened.
Mm. I believe that.
And it's less staged in the actual, when you get to the actual races where it's Clarkson and the two of them on a train.
Right.
That's most of that. That's not as staged. Some of the bits in the Africa special, you know, like the stuff where they make the knowing references to the voiceovers and, you know, the very thing when they first find Lake Victoria and they're staring at their watches thinking, how else are we going to fill the time?
Right.
That sort of thing. The actual and you know, building the stuff in the cars, the stuff that sets up to the bits where, you know, they've thought ahead of time to. This is what they're going to do. But I think the actual journey part of it, I think most of that is not.
Hmm.
So like Clarkson getting stuck and the guy's pulling him out.
Right. And I would postulate that the backup car going in the river was not staged either.
Nah.
Because what it looked like was they were about to do some sort of reference to it in the background when Jeremy turns around and goes, oh my God.
Yeah, because you could tell, and this is what they do with the things with the standby cars. There's usually, you know, if somebody gets in trouble or, you know, because they thought, okay, well, the Subaru is going to have a problem getting across and all that. So they bring the car in.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I would totally think that originally the Ford was supposed to be a setup, but it just went wrong.
Yeah, which was hilarious.
Yeah.
And the other question I had was for you, oh expert, is because Clarkson is a producer, right?
Yeah.
The other two aren't, right? It's just Clarkson.
Clarkson, I believe is an executive, not an executive producer, but he is. It's him and Willman. Yeah.
Okay. So Willman, yeah. So when they're like, oh well, the producers have given us this.
Yeah.
It's not really a surprise at that point, I would assume. Yes.
Not a surprise, at least not a surprise to Clarkson.
Okay.
I don't know whether or not that May and Hammond know about it yet before the card is read.
Hmm.
If that makes any sense. I know Clarkson would. And if you can tell when people read the cards, that it's basically in Clarkson's voice.
Mm.
The way the card is written.
Yeah, no, that, I can see that.
So, you know, it's kind of a nod that, okay, yeah, we probably know Jeremy already knows. Which is why Jeremy doesn't read the card half the time anymore. Because okay. I know originally, when before you knew how involved Clarkson actually was with New Top Gear, or the more popular the show got elsewhere, where you figured out, oh, well, Clarkson's one of the producers. Clarkson used to read the cards a lot, but you can tell in the later episodes that Clarkson isn't given the card that much because he already knows what's on it.
Right. Okay. No, that makes sense.
And the bit with the, like earlier in the series, the bit with the pensioner cars, that is complete and total setup. There's nothing that they didn't know wasn't going to happen in that bit. So,
but it's still fucking hilarious.
It's still hilarious. But you know, some of the bits that end happen, and I've noticed this on the show, and the bits that happen sort of more naturally without the setup. Actually work better.
So there's that.
Yes, there is.
John, you're watching Grimm, right?
What's that?
You're watching Grimm, aren't you?
Yes. I haven't watched this latest episode.
Oh, okay.
I thought NBC was just gonna perpetually just keep that thing on hiatus.
No.
No, that's back.
No, it's back. It's
no,
good.
But
with a vengeance.
But you know what I mean. It's not a statement of quality on the show. I just thought, well, for scheduling, they've kept it off the schedule for so long.
No, I don't. You know, it's like The Office was off for like weeks.
Yeah, but The Office doesn't have a full season order, and Grimm does.
Oh, yeah, I know. But what is the
well?
Full
the Office only has
anymore?
The season, and that's it.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's like big gaps in NBC's. Programming in general.
Well, it's there's like, big gaps at NBC.
Well, and yeah. Yes, that can be said of everything at NBC, right? There are big gaps in their programming, period.
Yeah. I mean, because I'll watch it on Hulu, but it's like, you know, the Office has had like at least almost a month off.
I think when the highest rated thing at your network is football and Saturday Night Live, I think you're in trouble.
Does anyone really watch that anymore?
When Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
Football, lots of people do watch.
Yeah. Right. I know. Yeah.
SNL, I think, has gotten the biggest pop with the Timberlake show this year. And there were two or three shows where they had a really huge audience for.
But I mean, is it funny?
Probably not, no.
You know, I actually happened to catch a bit of Saturday Night Live, which was on like at 10 o'clock the other day.
Yeah.
And the bit that I caught was actually pretty funny. Then we kind of watched through it and then it went back to its normal, you know.
Yeah.
Saturday Night Live has a history even its heyday, really.
Oh,
seriously.
Yeah. Even in the heyday there was like real
you
bad.
Watch an entire
spotty.
Episode. It was, you know, there were one or two sketches that were really good, but then the rest of them were just kind of like, eh, okay, that was...
Yeah, I remember, well, like, when Christopher Lee hosted, it's like, I don't know why I'm here.
Well,
was that in the 80s? Was that, well... Was
70s.
That 80s?
No, it was like it? 78 okay. or
well,
something.
And the thing to remember is, as I understand it, the versions that everyone watched in repeats for years were the cut-down syndicated versions
where they
took out...
Versions, so...
Yeah, so bits that didn't work, they pulled out, so... You think the show's funnier than it actually is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, back then, I think there were more funny bits, and they were funnier.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask a question, and which I think, have you, you've reviewed the DVD sets, or the ones that were released, right?
I'm familiar with them, yeah.
Yeah, I swore you did a couple of reviews of them.
I have not written, like, a full review, I don't think.
Okay. But... Are the episodes that are on the DVD sets they release, are those the cut down versions or are those?
I believe they're the uncut. I believe they're uncut.
Okay. Cause I was curious about that. I keep looking at some of the box sets and going, I wonder if they're the cut downs.
Yeah, I think, let me see. To do. Well, they refer to as complete seasons, which I understand people have started. It's fascinating when you go, okay, there's a difference between the complete first season and season one. You know, on the label. Yeah. So, yes, first season had complete episodes.
Okay.
I was reading here that apparently there is some. It's not as uncut as they made it out to be, because apparently people took their VHS copies and compared it.
Yeah.
And, the commercials are all missing.
Yeah, apparently there's been some edits to them. Bits taken out.
Okay. That's what I would imagine that would be the case. I would imagine that they would be edited.
Yeah, you have the Saturday Night Live Classic, which comes out with the certain unedited episodes from each season, like they did with Sesame Street.
Yeah.
Which is sad, because if there was ever something that we needed, you know, more DVD releases of, it was classic Sesame Street.
With a parental advisory.
Yeah, especially the crazy fucked up early episodes.
Oh my gosh.
I think they should just release the first episode just by itself.
Well, that the Sesame Street Old School Volume 1 has it on there, completely uncut.
No, just not with anything else, just that.
Oh, God.
Hey, cow.
Jesus. No, I yes, dear listeners,
and
if you have not...
The riff tracks will be available.
Here, little girl, come and meet my wife, and we'll give you cookies. Yeah.
So, dear listeners, if you have not seen the uncut first episode of Sesame Street, please rent or do whatever you need to do to get Sesame Street Old School Volume 1 and understand why it has a parental advisory on it.
Mm-hmm.
Things were different then.
Different world.
I would love for them to just release just the first episode and have multiple commentary tracks on it. Right? Yeah. So it would be like us doing a commentary track, or like the Riff Tracks people doing a commentary track, or, you know, whatever.
Oh my gosh, you have some of the old actors and stuff that are on. I was so high.
Or you can have the genuine actual people commentary track.
Except for Mr. Hooper, he's dead.
Well, they could do what they do with Connery in the
Too
the
soon!
All right, Luis can do it for Mr. Hooper, okay?
Yes, or they basically just use bits of like radio interviews and just snip them in the bits of commentary where they want Connery to say something.
Well, that's the strange thing about Sesame Street. You never saw these people ever really do stuff outside the realm of Sesame Street. Have you ever?
Sometimes. What's his face?
Bob McGrath. Have you ever seen him in a movie? No.
No, but he is a singer. He's released albums.
Well, so did Leonard Nimoy. That goes without saying.
So hang on.
But
I'm
looking
up now.
Well, it went without saying. It almost went without saying, but it was.
Well, yeah.
But it just got said. I heard it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's see. Well, that's a good point. I wish they had this in some sort of order that made sense. Jesus Christ.
You never heard Carol Spinney on another show or anything.
Well, because he's Carol Spinney and he can basically, you know, he's too busy being a big bird and a nudist.
And Oscar. He was Oscar too.
Yep.
He's great.
Yeah, I'm trying to find What in the world?
Oh my God, it's Bob McGrath. John, why do you have that?
Why? The question is, why don't you have that?
I don't know. I don't know why I don't have any songs by Bob McGrath.
I can give you a list of why I don't have that.
Oh my gosh, though, when I went to see Oz at my local around the corner movie theater, they the people that run it, they find little clips and stuff like what we used to show at the fun or the what was it, the
film
the
fest. All night,
the film,
the artist formerly known as the thing that we used to do.
Yeah. Anyway, they found like this some old Bob McGrath stuff, you know, singing.
Well, now okay, so here you go. Emilio Delgado, who is Luis,
right?
Is he was a cast member of Lou Grant. He's done a bunch of television appearances, including pretty much every flavor of Law and Order, and he's done a lot of L.A. and New York theater. So,
okay. All right.
So yeah, I know that. Some of those people have done Law and Order.
Well, everyone's done Law
Everybody's
and Order.
Everybody's yes. done Law and Order.
I've done Law and Order.
Elaine Stritch, I think, done it twice.
let's
and she
see.
Was killed at both times.
No, she always played a lawyer.
Huh. There you go.
I do want to stat on that. If you've ever been killed on a Law and Order and then brought back later in an episode of somebody else. Or killed twice.
Well, now remember that Jerry Orbach played an attorney in an episode of Law and Order.
Yes,
and then, of course, came
did.
Back to be
well,
Jerry.
Well, no. All the attorney to judge ratio is just, yeah, that happens over time. We figure that. But I'm saying, like, being killed twice.
I will say this, Sonia Manzano, who is Maria, she apparently, she writes for it too. So that probably keeps her busy considering they do what, 100 episodes a season?
Oh, yeah.
She has performed in New York, including, in the Vagina Monologues. So there you go.
Oh, okay.
How freaky would that be to see Maria
oh,
in
God.
The Vagina Monologues?
Maria, why are you doing that? Yes.
Trying to find the problem is you've got so many cast members and they don't really have them in any particular order, so I can find
they don't have them in chronological order. What is this, IMDb?
No, I'm looking on Wikipedia, which is always right. Let's see. Yep, there you go. Here's Susan. And she, okay, no, she has not really done anything, beyond basically being Susan, Loretta Long, holy shit. Oh, okay. No, they just had a small thing in here about how she was hit by a car in 2010. I'm like, holy shit.
Wow.
That's not good. So here is let's see. So people that have been in Sesame Street, of course, you've got Lily Tomlin, who is yes. Edith Ann, okay? Mm-hmm. For a short bit, her character was brought there. You had Alan Arkin who was in the second season doing some sketches. Let's see.
Who didn't else? The Stillers weren't both didn't
yes no. the st- yeah Mir- yes Jerry and Mira Stiller yes they yeah. were on it
let's see oh well this is stuff that was in Elmo's World, which doesn't count because it's not real Sesame Street. Charlotte Ray was in it for 2 years before she went on to Different Strokes and Facts of Life. Let's see. Da-da. Oh, Roll Julia worked in the Fix-It Shop with Louise.
Yeah.
Ruth Buzzy was in it for 6 years. Let's see. Savion Glover was in it for 4 years.
Oh, yeah.
And, I had forgotten that Andrea Martin played the... her fairy character from SCTV.
Yep, she did.
So yes. There you go. A crap ton of crazy Sesame Street information.
I mean, who wouldn't want to be on Sesame Street? I'd love to be on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, but Sesame Street, I'd like to be on that.
Oh, so, Rox, you would be awesome on Sesame Street. Rox, you should like, when Luis finally retires, you should take over the Fix-It Shop.
Yeah.
And you'd fix you'd fix things and it would be all fucking crazy. You'd be like, you're like, okay, so I fixed this and now you can watch TV on it and you can also listen. You have these headphones where you can pick up shortwave radio and it will also make toast. And they're like, but it was a blender when I brought it in here. And you're like, yeah, I fixed it.
Yes.
And every time they switch it on, it cuts to the pinball thing.
That's right.
Nice.
And we can break into Oscar's garbage can.
It transitions to the pinball.
That's true. Man, if you think about it, Oscar's garbage can is bigger on the inside.
It is. Do you know, we used to have a poster.
That's like my uterus.
We used to have a poster of the diagram of Oscar the Grouch's garbage can. This was a huge poster. And it had tunnels and really cool stuff where we would like sleep and stuff. So that was just an entryway. It was awesome.
You know,
my brother Terry got that, but anyway.
I wonder, I don't know why they've never thought of doing like a Doctor Who sketch with Oscar.
That would be so funny. Oh yeah, it's just like my place. That could be a red nose,
or like a parody, or like a Doctor Who parody with Oscar in Trash Cat.
Oh my God! You know what? They could have Matt Smith on Sesame Street one time, and they can discuss it.
Oh my
if
God.
Rob gets on, we'll tell him. Send Matt Smith to Sesame Street.
Well, they did a Mad Men sketch. Why not?
Yeah.
We've been here for 5 hours. You want to do introductions now?
In a moment, I just found,
because
you know, Bob McGrath is apparently, he's like really big in Japan as a singer. There exists it's a collectible, okay? A 45 of him covering Thunderball.
No way!
Who wouldn't want to hear that?
I do now.
And John, I already looked. I couldn't find it. Otherwise, I would have sent you a link.
No,
you didn't try hard Spotify. Enough, apparently.
No, you probably already got it, knowing you.
I'm finding it.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. And then, if this is found, I want some enterprising individual to mash it up with the original Tom Jones version. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Bonus points if you can fold in the Johnny Cash version as well.
Or the Mr. Bungle version, but if you could mash up Bob McGrath singing on top of Mr. Bungle, that would be amazing.
Although the challenge there is the Johnny Cash is a completely different version. It's a completely different song.
That's very true. That is very
true.
That's
extra credit though. Extra credit if you can make it work.
Oh, but what if you brought in the Johnny Cash thing during the bridge?
You could.
Yeah.
Yeah. The ultimate Thunderball mashup. Wow. I like it a lot.
Make that happen.
Somebody, please, for the love of God.
Nope. Still looking.
Oh, I was about to say, if that's Thunderball, I'm gonna lose my mind.
I think Kevin McClory can sue there.
That would be amazing. Hang on a second. Where is it?
Oh my God, does he sing Bali High too?
No, wait. Can you imagine if that was Thunderball? It would be like... Hey, hang on, John. It would be like this. He always runs while others walk. He acts while other men just talk. He looks at this world and wants it all. So he strikes like Thunderball.
You know, you're probably right on that.
That would be amazing.
He apparently speaks Japanese.
Yes, he's bigger.
Although, which you were halfway through the Thunderbirds theme, actually.
Thunderball is go. What? The only problem with Thunderballs is really you only have two.
Bali High.
Well, if you have more than that,
sounds like Bali High, doesn't it?
It does.
That's terrifying. Oh my God, that's amazing. All right, you know, Robo Aaron is right. We probably should do introductions at this point. as we've been terrorized.
Sing introductions.
If Bob McGrath would cover Promoter of Earthbound Causes, I would give him a dollar. But can you imagine Bob McGrath doing, what was it? What was that Pat Boone album where he covered all the hard rock songs?
The metal songs, yeah.
Yeah. If Bob McGrath did that, I would, I don't know what I would do.
Was that called No More Mr. Nice Guy? Is that what that was called?
Yes, that is. That's
right. That would be amazing. That would be amazing. I would like, you know, it's, okay, imagine this. Okay, imagine this. Here is your, readers, I've been doing these thought experiments. And here is a thought experiment for you to think about while we do introductions. Is that if you recall, there was actually a really great album called The Juliet Letters by Elvis Costello. And it was a Brodsky Quartet, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Brodsky Quartet. Okay.
So imagine something like The Juliet Letters, but instead of Elvis Costello and the Brodsky Quartet, it's Bob McGrath and Apocalyptica. There's your thought experiment. And we should do introductions. Starting now.
We've seen you staggering out of the work week, but now it's time to buck up, little camper. The weekend is here. This is a needcoffee.com podcast, and we're going to help you the rest of the way home. Stand by for Weekend Justice.
Weekend Justice. It's the Weekend Justice podcast here on needcoffee.com, the number one internet audio train wreck. Not, and one day will be the number one rest of the world in meat space audio train wreck, but until then, we're just a bill. We are only a bill. We're here in the hall of Weekend Justice with the Weekend Justice League, and I'll introduce them going from my right to your left. We have Tuffley is with us. Hello, Tuffley.
You know, that Apocalyptica thing is payback for the Rick Springfield thing from the other show, isn't it?
Sure, fucking A it is. we also have Roxas Mazhouse with us. Hello, Rox.
Body high.
That's all I know. Hi.
Yelts. I thought they just repeated that.
I think so, yeah. Oh.
Happy talk, happy talk.
Oh, geez.
Body high, happy talk.
And, of course, manning the board is John from the Neat Geek. Hi, John.
Soft and sexy.
Oh,
Bob McGrath, ladies and gentlemen.
Bob McGrath, soft and sexy. I would just like to state for the record that Bob McGrath, soft and sexy, Bob McGrath, comma, soft and sexy, is not going to be the title of this episode. Because I do not want those hits.
It is my newfound mission in this world to find.
I know! How can this not be online somewhere? That's amazing. How is that possible? Now, okay, stupid question. It's not like on iTunes or something, is it?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Wait,
let me look at Amazon real quick.
Wait, someone would actually have to buy it?
No, that I would buy. That I would buy. Now, you know what? You know what, Tuffley? Not even the 99 cents. I would pay $1.29 for Bob McGrath singing Thunderball. That's how much it means to me. That's what I want. Come on, don't give me these sing along with Bob bullshit. Come on, Bob.
Sing me a story. Actually, Bob's favorite street songs.
Because of the Bond 50th anniversary, I think we should actually have something where, you know, children's television stars sing the hits of the Bond, the James Bond films.
You know what?
I think that's an album that should happen.
You need absolutely the range of I cannot believe this was actually made James Bond covers.
What's this?
Although which you could still include the Aha song.
Take on me. Take me on.
What?
What?
Not that one.
That's the only Aha song that anybody knows.
I believe that's why they had a disagreement with the composer.
What in the hell is that?
It's still not Bob McGrath. That's what that is. Oh crap! I tried Bob McGrath 007. I tried Bob McGrath.
All right.
Have you looked the Wikipedia entry in Thunderball?
What,
to see if it's listed?
Well, sometimes they list weird covers of the theme song. Because I've noticed they did that with a couple of other of the Bond themes.
Okay.
I was looking that up for the other show.
Thunderball Wiki.
Wow. Thunderball Wikipedia. Crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Where Thunderball soundtrack.
I know it'll mention the Johnny Cash submitted one, blah, blah, blah.
I might be slightly drunk.
What have you been getting drunk on?
I've been drinking Sierra Nevada's Ruthless Rye IPA. It's an IPA, so inevitably there are problems.
Well, there was an auction for a 45, a Japanese 7-inch 45 of Thunderball with a B-side of the Golden Topsy. I don't even know what the fuck that is. But the asking price was...
Japanese cover of Lulu's Man with the Golden Gun.
Nice. Basically, it was $42 was the asking price.
And how much did it get?
I don't know. I can't tell. I mean, this was a 2011, so it's just something that somebody grabbed onto another website. So, and there's none on eBay right now.
You know, it's possible Bob may have paid good money to keep that off the internet.
It is possible.
It won't stay off the internet for long. They can sue me. I don't care.
No, we've got to find this. This now must happen.
My tax dollars is what I was trying to say, have gone to funding his life.
Ha! Wow. That's hardcore.
I that's how I throw down on Sesame Street.
Uh-oh. What?
Huh?
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, no. He apparently also did a cover of Muskrat Love.
Everyone's done a cover of Muskrat Love.
Hold on. I have to find that now.
I have not done a cover of Muskrat Love.
Yet. The night is still young.
Ever.
How much have you been drinking?
That's what Billy Joel said, and I believe
How much of the game nights do you remember, Wedge?
You bastard! Sons of bitches!
God, none of this is making it to the web. What the hell? He has done a great job of keeping his only things he wants to see have on the web, on the web.
That's because Bob McGrath owns the web. Don't you know?
He's a sorcerer.
Oh, God. Wouldn't it be awesome if Bob McGrath, if Bob McGrath was basically the head of Quantum or whatever it is in the next James Bond film? Bob McGrath is Blofeld.
Uh-huh.
You'd never expect it.
No.
Is he dead yet?
No.
Oh.
Who?
Bob McGrath.
Bob McGrath, no. He's still around.
No, Blofeld.
Yeah, that guy that played Blofeld.
Several times.
Multiple times. So, yes.
Oh, God, I can't find either of these things.
I know. You know what?
This is driving me nuts.
Someone just created, photoshopped crazy album covers. I don't think these exist.
We have stumbled upon a leverage coverage. Cover. Cover.
Leverage cover?
Yeah. Okay, if you ever watch Leverage, they always make these weird cover stories on the internet for people. That's what.
Oh, right. Gotcha.
Blah, blah, blah. Yak, yak, yak. Yada, yada, yada. If Tuffley was around, he would have got it and then ignored it. But Tuffley left.
Yeah, I watched Leverage, the first season.
Why didn't you watch it and continue on past that?
Because they took it to the next level at the end of season one and then decided they wanted to go back to the level they had it at before, and I was bored.
Do you want to know how it ended? Or did you figure out, did you see how it ended? It actually ended very well, surprisingly.
What, the series?
Yeah.
Oh, it's over?
Yeah, series is over.
Oh.
Wait, did I leave during the Leverage reference of the week? Not yes. Brought to you by TNT, you fucking bastards.
What?
I guess he's upset that Leverage is canceled.
See, just I'm mildly. Pissed because I would have, as I said before, I was waiting for the Leverage Hustle crossover.
Yeah. Although I think Hustle ended too, didn't it?
Yeah, Hustle. Well, as ended as any British show ever is.
Yeah.
I don't know that they're planning on bringing it back, but you never know.
Well, they've
there's
already
always
been
the Christmas specials.
Yeah, but they've already been through three permutations of the cast, so unless you do like a Star Trek thing where it's generation versus generation, that's going to be a bit of a problem.
Didn't Robert Vaughn stay the whole time?
Yeah, Robert Vaughn is the only cast member that stayed the entire time.
Well, because he's Robert fucking Vaughn.
Well, yeah. I don't know. You know, he's been doing those commercials in other states for, you know, some law attorney.
But, I mean,
I'm Robert Vaughn.
I think I've said this before, is that when you remember when they brought Robert Vaughn in for the last season of A-Team?
Yeah.
Right? When Robert Vaughn can't save your show, you're fucked, okay? Yeah. He's
not only Robert Vaughn, but they did an episode where they the other guy from Uncle.
Man? Oh, was it Man?
Michael Mann? He did not direct The Man from Uncle.
No.
And actually
McAllister. When they brought in David McAllister to guest on an episode where it was completely a spy episode.
Yeah.
And that still didn't work.
Tuffley, I'd like to point out, is now the person from Uncle, so.
Well.
Ever since the lawsuit.
Yeah. Yeah.
The harassment lawsuit.
Yeah.
Stuff you sent away just to make things go away. That's all I'm saying.
Well, Bob
McGrath knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Bob McGrath is down with it.
Yeah, he knows how to make things disappear off the internet.
Yeah, he does.
That's right.
Do not fuck with Bob McGrath.
No.
No, hey, you don't want to know the wrath of Bob McGrath. Sorry.
What? That's a Robert Rodriguez film waiting to happen.
Oh, God. Can you? Okay. Can I just say that I like Robert Rodriguez a lot, and I absolutely dig the shit out of Danny Trejo. I think Danny Trejo rocks the house, okay? But why is there a Machete sequel? The first movie wasn't very good. It wasn't Danny's fault. He was amazing.
Do you know how much Machete made?
Oh, God. Now I got to look it up. Hang on.
And I got to imagine Danny Trejo? I never know how to pronounce his last name. It doesn't cost that much, honestly.
Besides that, you know the theory that they made the Spy Kids movies to fund the first Sin City?
Yeah.
They're making another Sin City, so, you know.
And those kids are way too old to be Spy Kids anymore.
Because what was it? Red Sonja, which I don't even... Did it ever get released?
I don't know. Okay. Production budget of $10.5 million. It did 26 at domestic, worldwide 44.
Yeah.
So the man knows how to print money, basically.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's not huge, but it did make money.
He's got,
but
it
was almost self-released, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No, well, it was distributed by Fox, so... Yeah.
Well, they even had it. Well, for Comic-Con, they didn't even have it in Comic-Con. They had like a outside type of venue.
Well, they do that. They do that a lot, though. I mean, and I'm wondering how much of that is due to the fact that there's no fucking room in Comic-Con.
Yeah.
So now, I'm just curious about Machete, because my thing was the Machete trailer was amazing. It was amazing, and then to turn that into the film, which was like not amazing, I was like, oh damn. But what are you gonna do? What were we talking about?
Bob McGrath.
Bob McGrath.
Yeah, I know Bob McGrath, but beyond
all
Bob
things
McGrath,
in the internet, come back to porn or Bob McGrath. Sometimes both.
Don't. Oh, you bastard!
Wait. He's also removed that from the internet as well, John.
I know. Conveniently.
By the way, the Bob McGrath cameo in Machete.
Oh my god! You needed Bob McGrath in the Don Johnson role in Django Unchained.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that'd have been awesome. I mean, if Don Johnson didn't screw it up.
Oh, that broke my brain.
Oh, good. Good.
Brain broke. I hope you're happy now.
Yes.
What happens next is on you.
What happens next is all up to Bob McGrath. Screw the kids. Exactly. That was me quoting Bob McGrath. He had that quote removed. No, there was something we were talking about before we got on Machete. What was it?
Bob McGrath.
We're talking about Rob Rodriguez.
Leverage.
Leverage. Yes. Well, we were talking about Leverage. Yeah, well, see, at the end of season one, when they did the whole spoilers for anyone who's not seen the first season of Leverage, which you should because it's really good, blew up the headquarters and they did... Okay. Again, like with the following, when they do something that you didn't expect that was against type, that was not simple, right?
Yeah.
You've got, what's his face? Long hair. Fighter. What's his name? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yes.
The hitter.
Hang on.
Cowboy Jones.
Hang on.
Country guy.
Elliot,
yes, thank you.
Yes,
as okay. I say, the guy who used to get beat up a lot on Angel.
basically, when you've got it's the problem that you have with somebody fighting Batman or somebody fighting Wolverine is when they're supposedly so hardcore that they're the best at what they do, and you have someone take them down. That's problematic. You have to have a really good reason for that to happen. So in the two-parter, when he didn't go down, that's when I went, "Oh, now this has suddenly got interesting." And it stayed interesting throughout that entire thing. And what bugged me was that the second season started basically with the same sorts of episodes that they had for the first season instead of playing off of anything else. And I went about two more and I was like, okay, first season was good. I'm good. So what are you going to do? But I do that a lot. I like Deadwood, first season, brilliant. Second season never started. It never started. I watched every episode but the last one and finally gave up.
I had that thought in the reverse about Person of Interest.
Which I still haven't touched. So
which the first season seems okay, a little generic, a little, you know, CBS, you know, procedural. Okay, great.
Criminal
then you get toward
week.
The end of the season when the arc starts picking up a bit. When the arc kicks in, shall we say? And then it becomes really interesting.
And then there's smoke and there's chain sounds and... Oh, wait. No, that's a different show.
And an old lady in a sweater.
Head and a crystal ball that you see as you ride past.
That's and then right. Bob McGrath
One
appears.
Of those things actually happened at the end of the first season of Person of Interest.
It was a Bob McGrath thing.
It was Bob McGrath, yeah. Sorry.
He was a big bad on
He was.
Person of Interest.
It's not as strange. I laughed my ass off when I realized the big one of the big bads in Person of Interest was Veronica Mars's dad.
Oh yes, yeah.
Which is not even a spoiler. It was just
it's interesting because
really?
He has done a lot of interesting things that you always, he's one of those, oh, that guy.
Yeah.
And,
in fact,
and
now
of course,
I gotta find him.
We should say something about the Kickstarter, I assume.
Yeah.
Wait,
that's
what Kickstarter?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
What? Wait, what are we talking about?
You don't know about the Veronica Mars feature film, then?
No. Oh, actually, I started to type Veronica Mars, and Kickstarter came up as a completion.
Yeah. They did a Kickstarter. It started last week.
Yeah, it reached its goal within like 24 hours or something crazy like that.
Less than 24 hours. It did it in like 10 or something.
$3.7 million pledged for a $2 million goal.
Yeah.
Wow. And the lead singer for Matchbox 20 is in charge of it, huh?
Because he's smooth.
They gave this one guy gave
Rob
like
Thomas.
$10,000.
I went
and
there.
He's got a speaking part as a waiter. I remember that.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow. Here it is. I mean, this guy actually is related to the project, right? I mean, to Veronica Mars, right? He's not just some
random.
Yeah,
it's a different Rob Thomas, not that Rob Thomas.
Oh, I understand that. but I mean,
in his spare time, damn, he really is smooth.
Wow. So Kristen's in and I'm in. All right.
But,
wow. Nice.
But yeah, well, and then everybody started the obvious conversation. Can I bring blank back? Can I bring fill in show back? Can I bring Firefly back? Can I bring?
Well,
I'm
pretty sure that it's come up in this podcast at one point or another, because God knows everything else has. Haven't we discussed why people such as Joss Whedon don't just go to Kickstarter, go to just self-fund their own damn projects and be done with it?
Well, part of it is that if you think about it...
Well, Firefly would cost too damn much.
Well, there is that. But if you think about it, really, the first really big thing that got everyone's attention was Amanda Palmer. And now that this has happened, you're going to get, because this is basically like Warner Brothers, right, Tuffley?
Yeah. Well, here's the hook, and the deal with this is because I kind of thought up an example of, well, okay, now I can make my X-Men fanfic movie if I just get enough people to kickstart it. No, because Rob Thomas and Christian Bell went to the studio and said, look, what do we need to do to make a movie? And they were kicking around ideas about making the movie. So they kind of mutually came up with the idea of, let's see how many people are interested, because they don't know how many people would actually be interested in a theatrical release for that film. So they got their answer.
It's basically proof of concept, which is what a lot of, which is what a lot of products do.
Yeah. And in this case, and if you look at the Kickstarter in this case, even though it's going to get a theatrical release, theoretically, it would get a limited theatrical release. So it's not going wide in 3,000 theaters.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it wouldn't.
Yeah. No. But that's the main thing. I mean, if you have connections with the studio and the studio gives the people who actually own the stuff give a thumb up to letting you do something like that, great. I don't think it means, like the example I just said, like I don't think it means if I can get $2 million for my X-Men fanfic that it's going to get made. That's not what that means.
Well, part of the other thing, though, Tuffley, and I mean, beyond just the whole fanfic nonsense, and not that it's nonsense, but the idea that you could go.
So and, you're saying my X-Men fanfic is bad?
No, I've read it, and I think the fact that Bob McGrath turns out to be Magneto is brilliant, and bold.
Who is actually Doctor Doom, by the way?
As
I know,
well.
Well, yeah. You find out that Magneto is a Doom bot.
And he had Muppet henchmen.
Well,
and they were, oh my God, they were like Moopits.
In the risking being outcast from this particular podcast, I do listen to the Adam Carolla podcast. And I do know that he's funding his next movie via Kickstarter. Now, of course, he's not his film. I don't know what it is yet, but
I think he's still trying to get an American Top Gear made.
My God, is he still trying to get his house built too?
I'm sure you're aware of this, that he was actually in the pilot. He was
in the pilot. And when it was with NBC, because he had a deal with NBC.
Right. And then
when NBC didn't take it, he couldn't go with.
Right, exactly.
Well, but toughly,
they did that show on Speed, which was actually fairly decent. Then actually I thought was better than the
American
Top Gear.
You mean the
Once
in Future Fox Sports 1?
Yes. But his show on Speed, I thought was actually better than the American Top Gear.
I'd like to say that a lot of shows, when I watch them on Speed, I enjoy them a lot better.
But no, he's already done, he had a previous movie made that he made was called Hammer, which he self-funded, which I've never seen, now he's going to Kickstarter to fund his next one. So,
well, but toughly, the other thing I was going to say is the reason why Joss Whedon doesn't do it also is that in this case, first of all, Joss Whedon's a little busy, you know. Hopefully working on
he did put out something to the effect of, listen, here's what I've got going on for the next 5 years.
Yeah. But like, for example, with Veronica Mars, ain't nobody was using the IP, right?
So nobody was using the IP.
It's nothing but a win if they make some money off of it.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's like rerunning on SoapNet or something.
Oh, Jesus. Now that being said, what you could have is you could have a bunch of people who are actually connected to a project going to a studio and saying, look, here's proof of concept. Let's make some money. You're not using this thing. Why don't you just let us use it? Because, I mean, at this point, assuming that they've made their money, right? Because they get the $3.7 million. They needed $2 million to make it. In theory, their costs are covered. It's all gravy.
Well, and also the thing is, Warner's, if you also look at the Kickstarter, they said Warner's agreed to, okay, if you guys can get the minimum $2 million to actually make the film, we'll kick in the marketing. We'll kick in marketing and distribution.
Mm. Which, you know, basically for them is, like you said, if it's a limited run, it's not going to be that much.
Yeah. So they basically said, okay, if you guys can go get the money to actually make the film, we'll kick in marketing and distribution.
Yeah, toughly. Basically, here's what I would say: not only is it limited run, but DVD release via the Warner Archive.
I think a DVD copy of the film was actually one of the levels of the Kickstarter. Actually,
well, there you go. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, if some of the things that they've put out on Warner Archive have surprised me, because I would have thought there would have been more demand for it. But, you know, with 56,000 people, yeah, Warner Archive, why not? Why would you do anything else?
You know, I'm surprised. I'm almost surprised the studios in like archival stuff that hasn't been released yet. I'm surprised they just don't go to Kickstarter and say, okay, we'll put this out if enough of you fund us releasing it.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, why not? It's just sitting there. Well, my thing is not even that. It's, why wouldn't you put it out on like Amazon streaming? Don't even, you know, put out a physical copy. You know, what's something that hasn't like been released? Or even like, I was
the
talking
Batman
about
TV show.
Oh, well, see now.
Oh.
Didn't they just recently get all the legality shit sorted out with that? Because I thought
the Watchmen suit, that was the that was one of the byproducts of the Watchmen suit.
What, getting it sorted?
When Fox suit, that's what Warner's wanted out of it. That was part of Warner's conditions of going away. I don't know if that actually came to pass or not.
No, I remember reading because there was something like in the last year or so where some huge legal thing that was basically keeping there from being not only home video releases, but also all kinds of merchandise based on the 60s TV show. You know what? I think it was maybe that they didn't have any deals with the actors. Well, not, well, probably some of the actors, but I don't know how all that works. But,
okay, so this was kind of like the thing where the people from Happy Days sued Paramount.
Well, yeah, and it didn't, shit, there was, yeah, for like the
slot machine.
Yeah, the slot, thank you. I couldn't fucking think of what it was called. Slot machine, yes. So yes, I believe that's what it was. Let's see, I was trying to see if I've got.
I hadn't heard about the Batman case in particular, but I'm sure there's probably some licensing that with the actors involved that yes. I'm sure these things get periodically, and we've seen these things get periodically brought back up again.
Right.
As okay, new so that, mediums and new exploits happen.
There you go. So basically this was from, again, from June of last year. Fox and Warner Brothers reached an agreement that would allow Warner Brothers to use the likenesses of the actors on everything. And that was one of the big deals that why nothing was happening with it is because it was tied up. And apparently they were saying in this article that this spring we should see a wave of stuff. But
I mean, I could think, but to go back to the Kickstarter thing, I could think of a perfect idea. I think Fox could go to people and go, listen, do you want a WKRP with all of the original music on it? Okay, this is how much our music license is going to cost.
Hmm.
Yeah. Find that.
Yeah.
If you want it complete and uncut with the original music, this is our music license bill to put this out on DVD.
Yeah, makes sense.
And if it's not funded, then
nothing happens.
You don't get your box set,
and then you can't bitch anymore because it's like, exactly. Well, sorry. I mean, we tried.
Exactly.
So, no, that makes.
Which,
that
by
makes
the way,
sense.
Seriously, WKRP season 2. Could we just make that happen in my lifetime, please?
Well, I'm sure there's plenty of places where you could legally acquire it. So.
I do, but I'm lazy, and I would like it to come to me.
I understand.
It has nothing to do with legalities. I'm just lazy. If it's not easy to find, then really.
I hear you. And it makes sense. Oh, my God. Well, there's that. What else is there?
A pause that refreshes every 15 minutes on Weekend Justice.
There's Robo Tuffly. There's always that.
He could have set it for real.
You know, when we got Peter Weller to do it, it sounded so much cooler. I don't want to do that shit. Exactly. See, Peter Weller could have fucking killed that line.
Yeah. What's he doing now, anyway?
He was the voice of Batman in the Dark Knight Returns animated two-parter.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
And was quite good, actually. I never would have thought of him, but he was good. So what is he doing now?
Is he actually in RoboCop?
Really?
He is in the new Star Trek film.
Yeah.
And, he's been directing. He apparently directed and starred in an episode of Hawaii Five-0 and also House. So there you go. That happens.
That guy looks dirty.
What,
no,
Peter
Weller does not look dirty.
Oh. That was Robo Rocks arguing with Real Rocks.
That's right. Which happens all the time.
Yeah. It's like that episode of Family Matters where you had the Urkelbot and Urkel arguing.
Oh, that was awesome.
I thought that was when the Urkelbot destroyed Tokyo. So there was a reason for the argument.
Well, and Urkelbot wanted to destroy Hank Pym as well.
Oh. Well, yeah, but that always happens.
You know what? I think here's another thought experiment, folks. Is that...
I'm still working on the last one.
No. Yeah, you got to double up because you're falling behind.
If he's starting to take these broken wings.
These broken wings.
No, don't take the broken wings. Again. No, don't do that. That's not good.
Learn to live so free.
But imagine if Peter Weller, as RoboCop, take him and change him with the Peter Weller that appeared in Naked Lunch.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
And I liked that movie.
Oh, yeah. So there you go. That'll entertain you for a little while.
And together they fight crime?
No. They're not together. It's just RoboCop in Naked Lunch.
Yeah.
Oh, RoboCop in Naked Lunch, not Naked Lunch.
Oh,
in
he
RoboCop.
Could bust Peter Weller's character for snorting bug spray.
Oh my God, RoboCop in Intrazone. It's perfect.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, Uncle Bill. I'm sorry. Not sorry enough to stop, but I am still sorry.
By the way, Internet, you're welcome for these series of indelible images on your mind.
Yes, it's just thought experiments. That's all. It's harmless. Well, sort of.
It's like a daisy growing in your mind, except it isn't at all, really.
Flowers in your mind.
God. Oh, the windmills in your mind.
Yep.
Yes, but we all chase at windmills, so it's okay.
Yes, we tilt at them too, which brings us back to the pinball song and Bob McGrath. All roads lead to Bob McGrath. You know what? Bob McGrath was the monitor from Crisis on Infinite Earths. That's who Bob McGrath was. He was selling weaponry to villains in order to fund, I don't know, something that would put
Veronica
him in every
Mars movie?
Yes. Oh my God. Cuffley.
Cuffley. Oh, shit.
Oh, you fucking genius bastard, you.
Well, weaponize their memories.
Bob McGrath was selling weapons to the villains of the DC Universe to fund the Veronica Mars movie. Yes! That is exactly what happened.
I heard it here, folks. I have to ask Tuffley a question, though. Did you watch the entire run of Veronica Mars?
No.
I bailed after the first season.
I think I made it through... Did they graduate in the first season, or was it in the middle of the second?
Well, the problem was it was on the CW, first of all.
Yeah.
It was a good series, what I saw of it, but it was on the CW, which meant that I might get sucked into watching Glamour Girls or something.
But it's one of those things, like most high school shows that are basically, you know, are basically set in high school, you have that, there's that moment where you have to make the characters graduate because the actor's getting way too old to keep him in school.
Right.
So you get that weird... We're not quite sure how to pace the stories because some of the audience hasn't matured with the characters or vice versa. So we're not sure whether to keep doing the same thing we had them do in high school or not. And it's very weird because Buffy did that. That first season after the graduation where Buffy's trying to go to college.
Right,
that didn't work.
Well, let me just say that. In addition to Bob McGrath being the monitor to sell weapons to the villains of the DC Universe so he could fund the Veronica Mars movie, I'd like to point out that Thomas met with DC Comics to talk about a comic book series based on Veronica Mars. See? You want to talk about conspiracies? Fuck House of Cards. This is off the chain right here.
I couldn't find it.
What? Off the chain? Wait, Chain of Fools? Is that what you're looking for?
My drama music.
Oh.
Couldn't find it fast enough. Oh, there it is. Hold on.
Oh shit! That's all right.
Oh my God. I'm shocked he found that musical cue.
I'll edit it together. It'll be fine.
It wasn't colored right. That's the problem.
Whoa. Let's not get racist. We're doing so well.
He wasn't being racist. He was just being Ted Turner.
That's not the title either.
I recently redid the segregated out the soundboard, and I didn't color this one properly, so it's
in the
wrong place.
They're separate
right
but equal.
It's white.
He ain't
it's
heavy.
White now.
It's just Ted Turner.
What?
He ain't heavy. He's Ted Turner.
You know, when I go to Ted's Montana Grill, I do eat heavy though. Bison.
Oh, the bison pot roast is good.
And by that, I don't mean the Street Fighter character.
Bison!
What?
I was doing my... Aurora! I can't even do it anymore.
It's a trap?
Oh, God.
Are you having a stroke?
Three of these is too many.
Strokes?
Yeah, those two. I'm going to go out on a limb and say one is too many. Song?
Oh, God.
So there's that.
Bob McGrath and Billy Squire.
And Billy Squire.
Oh, wow.
Billy Squire is pariah. You know it's true.
No. I think Bob McGrath should do some Smith covers.
Heaven knows I'm miserable now. Yeah. An album of a Bob McGrath tribute to the Smiths.
Yes.
Yeah, I was doing a moratorium in Morse.
And if a double decker bus.
There's a Kickstarter way to start.
To us. We need to start. Die by your side. Yeah, no.
We need to start a Kickstarter for Bob McGrath to do a Smiths tribute album.
Oh my God, can you do fake ones like that?
No, they'd probably shoot you.
Oh. No.
Darn.
Sadly, oh. No.
Damn. That would be funny. I don't know. We'd probably get Morrissey on our ass. More so.
No. The only way you can get Morrissey on your ass is if, you know, you slaughter animals while covering the Smiths.
Either that or if you fall down in the Strand bookstore.
Or even better, if you're slaughtering animals while you're covering the Smiths with Johnny Marr actually playing on the track.
Ooh. Okay.
Musical politics on your ass.
I know.
It's the degree of difficulty, you see.
Last night I dreamt that somebody started a Bob McGrath Kickstarter.
Well, you know, you did see, I'm sure you saw this, Tuffley, that the whole Morrissey not going on Kimmel thing.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Because yeah. the Duck Hunter guys were on there.
The Duck Hunter guys, yeah.
The video game.
The dog from Duck.
They finally got around to inviting them on a talk show.
Which, by the way, is a horrible Duck thing to say about Matt Damon.
All right, what channel is their show on? Are they History or are they TLC?
They have beards, but amazingly, they're on A&E.
Oh wait, is this Duck Dynasty?
Yes, yeah. Duck Dynasty. Yeah.
See, they're on A&E, really?
I like Duck Dodgers better.
You know, my kids watch the new Looney Tunes show, which is hit.
Oh my God, those are kind of dark.
Which is, yeah, I know, hit and miss, but there's this great one with Daffy Duck, and they do this like metal song of him being the wizard. It's actually pretty funny. If it's probably on YouTube somewhere, but you should check it out. Okay. It's actually pretty funny. And the kids don't quite get why I'm laughing hysterically, but it's, you know, music that I grew up with.
Well,
and Tuffley still owns.
Well, I will say this, that is in keeping with the original Looney Tunes, which weren't for kids.
I know.
True.
Yeah.
So, oh my God. Well, you know what? We should probably, I'm sorry. I'm getting a text message from Bob McGrath that says we should move towards recommendations.
Dude,
Bob McGrath, Action News.
Oh. So, who wants to go first?
Tuffley does.
Go, Tuffley!
Oh, well, you know. Hey, coming out, actually, it is already out, is the, if you haven't picked up David Bowie's The Next Day, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good record. First one in 10 years, and it if you liked the last couple of Bowie records before this, Heathen and Reality, this is kind of right in line with that, which is kind of surprising. So I guess if you take 10 years off and you put out a record that is in line with consistently with the rest of your output, people are somewhat shocked with that. I don't know why. But David Bowie, The Next Day. And the other one that I was going to mention was Blood Sports is the new one from the Suede. Which is probably in this country, and I did check this morning, it is in fact the London Suede that you'll find it in this country. because there's another band called Suede.
Well, it's actually a singer is what I found. I was looking on Wikipedia. Yeah. And what's hilarious is her entry basically says she's best known for a lawsuit against the Suede.
Yeah.
To change their name. That's sad. Okay.
But yeah, Blood Sports is the new album. If you're not in America, it's by Suede. If you're in the United States, it's the London Suede. I'm sorry. But it is a good record. If you missed the old school Britpop sound, you can find it there. Also, I was going to recommend a comic that it's been out for a while, and I've just gotten around to reading it. It's a graphic novel called Doctor Who: The Forgotten. It came out a couple of years ago as a miniseries, and it's with the Tenant Doctor. And I normally don't recommend the comic book, audiobook, after shoots of Doctor Who, because I'm usually like, if it's not on the TV show, it doesn't really count.
Yeah.
I thought this was a really fun story, and it does feature flashbacks with all 12 Doctors, which I was curious about how they were going to get rendered in comics, because the only one I've seen rendered in the comics before was Tom Baker. So I kind of wanted to see how that would be, how they would render the earlier Doctor. So that was cool to see. So yeah, it's called Doctor Who: The Forgotten. And then IDW has a similar, with the 50th anniversary, has a similar thing that they're doing, a miniseries now, but I haven't read that one yet, so I can't speak to the quality of it. But I did like this particular miniseries, The Forgotten. So it's out in a graphic. It's out in a trade. Should be able to get it from Amazon, or in a pinch. If you just want to go ahead and read it now, you can get it on the Comixology app. And done. Ding.
Excellent. All right. Thanks, Tuffley. Rox, what you got?
Okay. You know how we talked about Downton Abbey?
No.
A while ago. All right. Another show apparently took a little bit of the sales away from Downton Abbey in Great Britain was Timothy Spalling and Jennifer Saunders' The Blandings, which is based on P.G. Wodehouse, who's always great, you know. So anyway, basically, it's I think it's 6 episodes. I only saw 4. However, I like the story, you know, the show so much. I've never run across the books, the Blandings Castle books. So I picked that up, and they're really fun. Very episodic. And the funny thing is I think I enjoyed that show, which takes place in the 20s, basically roughly around the same time as Downton Abbey. You have your surly butler and, you know, the family members who are a little bit more, you know, you can tell that they want money. You know, they're a little bit more out there on, you know, saying, hey, I have no money. Can I have some money? You know, and it's you have Lord Blanding, who has this giant, huge pig named the Empress. It's a creepy pig, too. It's got like this brow that comes all the way down. It looks mean. Anyway, they have a bunch of workers who are like practically ne'er-do-wells and stuff. And each episode it runs like a half an hour. And they're fun. And you know what? The costumes are just as good as they are in Downton Abbey. So if you're an anti-Downton Abbey person, look for The Blandings is what it's called. And apparently, get this, after watching the first couple episodes, I was doing some research. This typical Wodehouse type show has been done. Apparently, Peter O'Toole played Lord Blanding at one point in the 60s. And so did Ralph Richardson. So those are something, you know, if you're old Brit type TV type person, that's something to look for. And anyway, there's also, this is like my wish list. Somebody's come out with a full, another book of letters by P.G. Wodehouse during, you know, up until like the war years when he left England and America so he could live tax-free in France and unfortunately got stuck during World War II, you know, in occupied France. And that really gave him, you know, the Brits for a long time really weren't happy with him on that because he apparently – under pressure from the Germans, he made some radio broadcasts and stuff. And it didn't really cast him in a really good light. However, the funny thing is people were wondering if he got a lot of his money from the Germans. Apparently, he actually had money from when he was producing stuff in America and Great Britain. So he had his own funds, just so you know, just to put that back on course. I listened to the one song that came out for Vampire Weekend, Diane Young. It's interesting, and you can catch it on YouTube, the video. So I'm recommending the – now it's in Great Britain, so you have to acquire it somehow. The videos, the Blandings. Or you can pick up the books through Amazon. They are available. It runs around $11 for the series through Amazon. And check out that Diane Young for Vampire Weekend. And I'm also recommending French Cheese.
By the way, that Vampire Weekend album is out May 6th.
Yes, yes. I like them.
Wait, so rocks all cheese that happens to be French?
Yeah.
Oh.
So that's Camembert, Brie.
Okay.
I have this one that's amazing. I get it from Costco.
Actually, when she was talking about the band French Cheese.
Really?
Well, see, they were cheese, but there was a band already here called Cheese.
Yes. So that's what you call the French Cheese.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, okay.
Right. So, John, what have you got?
Widge.
Yeah?
How you doing?
I'm good.
So Willow is coming out on Blu-ray.
I hate that film.
Wow.
So, Rox does not recommend it. I, on the other hand, am looking for stuff to recommend, so there you go.
I'm a Billy Barney fan, and I didn't like it.
I can sit here and recommend the Play Framework, but I'm pretty sure nobody on this podcast really cares about what the Play Framework is. So, it's a Java, never mind. Scala, no, never mind. Scala, actually, not Scala. Anyway, Widge.
Yeah.
Did you happen to get a copy of Who Framed Roger Rabbit, the 25th edition, two-disc Blu-ray DVD combo in your box of goodies sent to you?
No.
No? Well, apparently it's available. Go out and buy it. And, you know, as I do all of my shopping, I do it through Amazon, and when I do it through Amazon, I actually go to needcoffee.com/Amazon to do all my shopping. What do you think about that kind of tact, Widge?
I think that more people should take that tact and go to Amazon through Need Coffee and do all of their shopping.
Because when you run after the truck that has the stuff that you really want, finding the stuff that the stuff comes off the truck, that's dangerous.
Well, if they suddenly break and then back over.
Yes, that's right.
It's not good.
It's dangerous.
I also think that basically once you realize that Willow is something that they gave ILM they gave ILM to do because they were bored and needed something to do, then it's okay.
Now remind me, was Willow the thing where they were whipping hair back and forth? Is that what that was?
Willow!
Rox, you're going to lose your voice. Whipping hair? What?
That was a commercial.
A Willow Smith joke, man.
It's also when Val Kilmer still looked like Val Kilmer.
Ah.
Ooh.
Oh.
Ooh,
sad.
You mean when you look closer to Jim Morrison?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Actually, ironically, I think he looks more Jim Morrison in Willow than he did in The Doors. That just may be me.
That was Billy Barty's last film, wasn't it?
Was it?
I don't know.
Hang on.
I do see a picture of here on
in
Amazon.
Your house.
Yeah, in
my
house.
Got a picture of Billy Barty in your house.
No, of Ron Howard wearing a sexually explicit cap. It says unit box.
Oh.
So I don't know if he's trying to unit in a box or what's going on there.
He appeared in a lot of stuff. It looks like...
Ron Howard? Yeah, certainly. Yes. Happy Days and, well...
But I think the last thing I see... And I'm assuming this is not a TV... Oh, my God. It's a 1994 film called Outlaws, The Legend of O.B. Taggart, written and starring Mickey Rooney, with Ned Beatty, Ernest Borgnine, and Randy Travis, along with...
Oh, my God, we need to see this.
Sounds it's like amazing. A Lawrence Welk reunion special.
Wow. But yes, John, the...
And Randy Travis. I love that. Mm-hmm. And Randy Travis as the Beaver.
And you know he'll sing at the end.
And by that, you mean an anthropomorphized animated beaver. And by that, we mean the animal.
Absolutely.
Yes. But no, if you go to needcoffee.com/Amazon and bookmark that if you would, because we know everyone buys things from Amazon. You can't get away from it because why wouldn't you? But yeah, when you buy it using that link or the search bar that's on Need Coffee on the right hand side of the site, when you go to pretty much any site or pretty much any page on the site, we get kickbacks. And so the stuff that you were going to buy anyway helps us out. So we appreciate that greatly. So what I would recommend is, first of all, Woodkid's The Golden Age album is out this week and is quite tasty. If you would like, if you like orchestral horns and strings to beat you about the head and shoulders, then you'll truly enjoy it. So I recommend that. And beyond that, there was a... DVD, what freaking DVD was I going to recommend? Lost my mind. I'm sure it will come back to me.
Which, while you're thinking of it,
yes,
because I don't think I recommended this the last time. It may have come out in between, which is, and if I did, go ahead and buy it again. Buy it twice from ecoffee.com/Amazon. Yeah. Wreck-It Ralph came out on Blu-ray. I guess it was last week. It looks like it was last week. Yeah. Get that.
They did an early release, too. They did an early release before it came out. Digital. They did an early digital release.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, they did a release before it came out. What the hell does that mean?
Because they did the same thing with... They've Transylvania. Done this with Skyfall.
Words!
Hotel Transylvania did the same thing.
Yeah, Hotel Transylvania did the same thing. Skyfall did the same thing. I think The Hobbit just did it.
Frankly, the only reason why I know Hotel Transylvania did this is because I happened to be going through Walmart and saw that they were going to do that.
Yeah.
I have no interest in seeing that film or have seen that film.
He's.
I'm trying Bob to back McGrath. Away. I'm protesting too much, I think.
But Bob McGrath wants you to see that film, John.
The spirit of Bob McGrath moves you.
He's alive. He's still alive.
He's dead.
No, he's not.
He is. No.
Now, Rox, you do know that he can separate his spirit form from his body at will. But
what is Bob McGrath's spirit animal?
Bob McGrath's spirit animal is the...
It'd be funny if it's a huge yellow bird.
It's the Portuguese man of war.
Doesn't get around very much.
Don't ask! All right. What the fuck was I going to say? I'm losing my... I wish I had been drinking. Then I would have an excuse. What I will say is, because I can't think of the DVD I was going to mention, but I will say that I am listening to the ginormous audiobook that is the Stephen King time travel book. God, you know what it is? I haven't slept in days. 11/22/63.
Yeah. Oh, how do you like that? I read the book.
I'm digging it. Of course, as always, I'm bracing myself for a Stephen King ending, which is, you know, clunky, but the ride to get there so
you
far.
You will like it. You will like it. Good. When you're done, I'll tell you how that came about.
Okay, cool.
Cause I read the backstory.
When you're done reading
it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that makes sense. It's good. You'll like it.
Well, it basically, it's like, to me...
They are always clunky. Yeah.
Well, yeah, well, not always, but I mean, most of them clunk, but you don't care because the ride there is so good.
Yeah,
you know?
You're right.
Because what was it? Bailey was talking about the fact that he is a great storyteller at times more than anything else.
Because so he can do setup and characters really, really well.
Yes, and his style is really excellent. Okay?
It's very he has a style like Dickens. Not necessarily. I mean, his characters are believable.
I can see that. Yeah,
it's just sometimes you can see where he's going, but he just doesn't stick the landing.
Yes, yeah, that's a good way of putting it. And then sometimes when he does, like with the end of the Dark Tower series, it's fucking amazing. So when he sticks it, it's great. But no, so far I'm really enjoying it, and the audiobook is quite tasty. But yeah, 11/22/63, I'm enjoying that quite a bit. And I will mention this since we're talking about time travel stuff, is if you want a really good time travel book, it's Dean Koontz's Lightning, which don't read anything about it, just go and do it. And then based on my other experiences with Dean Koontz's books, don't read anything else ever.
Oh, really? I was going to say, we've never ever, no one's ever mentioned Dean Koontz
on this show. Well, I basically went into the library while we were going on a trip and I needed a book. And I went in and Lightning, this sounds interesting. Got it, read it, loved it. Loved it. It was brilliant. And then I went, oh, cool, because I thought I'd found another king, right? So I was like, great. And I went and tried to get some of his other books, and every single one was just awful. I mean, so I just stopped. So, but Dean Koontz's Lightning is brilliant. I absolutely loved it. So there you go. There are some recommendations for your weekend to keep you busy and off the streets, because quite frankly, we're tired of bailing you out.
I am. Jeez.
Well, Rox, you don't bail anybody out because your response is basically,
I need somebody to help me mow the lawn. That's the only reason I bail people out. So that
But otherwise, you just
Brian
Setzer? No.
The Brian Setzer work release program, is that over with now?
Yeah, it's been over.
Well, okay. Rox, you're just so busy bitching people out because they got caught. Because you're, I mean,
oh my God, you got caught.
Day one of your seminar, don't get caught.
Yeah, you're right.
And then day four of the seminar, don't get caught.
Andrea, don't get caught by the governor. Hello.
Yeah. Andrea should have gone to a Roxas Baz House villainous seminar.
Tip number one, make sure they're dead.
Yeah. Simple. Yeah.
Tip number two, once you've assured they're dead, leave.
It's pretty simple. It's just that simple, people. Mm-hmm. But anyway, what are you going to do? Yeah, you could bitch about it because otherwise you wind up, you know, tied to a dentist chair and going, oh shit. And I mean that in a negative way.
Because you didn't call anyone to let
you mended it a root canal way. How is that supposed to?
No, I don't judge. I'm just saying I don't judge.
Is it safe to go?
Probably.
Okay.
So
now you get it, right?
Yeah. Okay. All right. So fine. I won't say bombshell. I'll just say on that particular UXB, which you'll run into when you're digging up your garden at some point in the next 5 years or so.
Unless Bob McGrath bombed your house.
That's true. Bob McGrath had that bomb there before you built your house.
Bob McGrath is the Beyonder.
Who are the people in your neighborhood?
Oh, no, I'm seeing... Oh, tough. I'm seeing Bob McGrath with that perm. Oh, God.
In your neighborhood.
Yeah, can you picture the 80s look for Bob?
I don't want him in that crazy all-white Captain EO outfit. No, I don't. Oh, God.
Ask the bomb disposal guy in your neighborhood. The bomb disposal guy in your neighborhood.
Oh, my God.
Here comes someone now. Take us out, Bob.
Oh, Jesus.
Hey, listen, let me ask you. I see you've got a little white hat and some sunglasses, swimming suit, and a little whistle. You must be
That's a rape whistle, Bob.
Oh, wow.
Mind if I wave to everyone?
Wave? Dive right in.
Okay. Oh, a lifeguard works out in the sun, watching over everyone.
All right, so before more Bob McGrath gets played, I think it's time that, just like every episode of Weekend Justice, we should all look at each other dumbfoundedly and say, Thunderball.
Thunderball?
Thunderball! Bally-ha!
Yes, Thunderball. See how Thunderball can work for you.
Thunderball does work for me.
Now more thunderific. Now with bigger ball.
And more ball-tastic.
Now with sight beyond sight.
Ball-oricious.
What the hell is happening?
Ruth and Nellie and Mr. Petroselli. Everyone asked about you.
Oh my God, it's the Bob McGrath, Ladysmith, Black Mambazo crossover.
Hey, they were on that. They were on Sesame Street.
Remember everybody when Bob McGrath everybody was on Sesame Street. Sandinista?
And everyone asked about you.
Voodoo.
Now, what's great, though, is the Bob McGrath cover of Nine Inch Nails Hurt.
That would be so fucking awesome.
There's a Kickstarter. Not Bob, we just want you to sing this one song.
But he's dead.
Release it as a
He's not dead!
Just because he visits you as a spirit in the night, John, doesn't mean he's dead.
John, I'm alive.
I've become so tumescent. What?
So, my God, John, do you torture your kids with this stuff?
Sure, why not?
That's Tuffley, because you can't find a dentist chair reasonably priced.
Tuffley, is this the unreleased sequel to Paul Simon's Graceland?
See, now you're just trying to come up with another obscure musician.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Oh, diamonds on the soles of her felt.
All right, let's go. Run. Everybody run. The governor's coming.
Remember that time? Oh, well, but we're supposed to stay, right? We're supposed to make sure he's dead.
Remember that David Morrissey, he really doesn't need the patch. He only wears the patch when he goes to Madripoor. I'm amazed you got that, Rox. Well done.
Wow.
Okay.
Give me just a minute while I clarify.
Hi there. Many of you know me as the half-assed engineer John on Need Coffee's Weekend Justice podcast. But what most of you don't know is that before I was internationally known by tens of people, I was a patient at the Sleep Deprivation Institute, known as NeedCoffee.com. NeedCoffee.com has provided me and many of you with hundreds of hours of therapy through engaging rants, dreamcasts, reviews, contests, news of the offbeat and cool, and of course, more information about caffeine than was really necessary. Why, without NeedCoffee, I might have actually seen Starship Troopers 4 bugging out. Thank you, Need Coffee, for saving me from that fate. Now, all this goodness does come at a cost, so the fine folks at Need Coffee are asking for your help. Please head over to needcoffee.com/memberships to learn what you can do to keep this invaluable resource alive. Your contribution not only will allow for more great content and more chances to win free shit, but it might just save a kitten. So as you sit there, listening to this podcast, this free podcast, sipping on your $8 Café de Frou-Frou, think about what you could have done with that money instead. Sure, you could have donated to some worthy cause, or you could keep Need Coffee and kittens alive. Your choice. Visit needcoffee.com/memberships for more details. Oh, crap. Did I record that?
And here's Dakota.
John, stop!
I think someone is asking about somebody, but I'm not quite sure what it's about.
Please use Bob McGrath for medicinal purposes only.